It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
And good afternoon, everyone. You're in the huddle. Welcome to 101.3 The Game. Everybody's here. Ram Fan Ralph is here. Brady's here and Arnie's here. Gentlemen, how are you today on this beautiful day?
Oh, he screwed that up.
He screwed it up.
See, it's not that easy, is it?
I know it's not. I didn't expect it, Arnie.
It's not that easy. We're 3 seconds into the show and you botched it up already.
We're in, where are we? 101.3.
Yeah. Where are we? And I don't know what it counted for. And you didn't say, how you doing, big boy? No, Handsome's not here.
But Handsome's not here.
You already replaced yourself with Rich. Oh my goodness. He was complaining about his headphones.
Rams Fan Ralph has been here. By the way, Rams Fan Ralph got here earlier than you did.
So yes, he did.
You talk about more dedication to the show.
I was going
to
give him grief for getting here late, but he got here before I did.
He got here at 2 o'clock. I sent him a text yesterday. Yeah. Don't show up before 2:45. Our receptionist comes down and goes, Ralph is here for you. I'm like, is it 2:45 already? The show's not even planned yet.
I got here at 2:39 to have my lunch first.
I didn't get your text, Brady. Not at all. Are you kidding me?
I sent the text last night. It's in the Town Fair Tire text line right now.
You know what? You also tried to email me. How did that go for you? Not very well, did it?
Well, you told me your email wasn't working, so that's why I texted you.
I got to say this right off the bat. You look a lot older than I thought you were going to be.
I'm totally different.
Oh, really?
I thought
you think he was going to be what?
I thought Rams Fan Ralph was going to be about 64, small, frail, white hair. That's how I pictured Rams Fan Ralph.
You nailed it. What are you talking about?
Oh, Arnie, I liked you. You got to be kidding me. Where are we going with this already?
Ralph, you're
going
to want to move closer to the microphone.
Yeah, all right, good enough.
Don't be afraid of it. The microphone is your friend.
Like Arnie's wife.
Well,
don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. By the way, he's got big shoes to fill. My wife was getting all kinds of, only like 3 or 4 negative comments yesterday.
A lot of people, as a compliment. A lot of people liked your wife. So with two special guests, Rams Fan Ralph is in here for hour one. Harry from St. George, who is in the Navy. I'm looking forward to his stories. He's in hour two. Why do you have to be Rams Fan Ralph? Why can't you just be Ralph? Why can't you be Ralph from a town like everyone else on the
text
line? I could
be grumpy Ram Fan. Would that make you happier? I mean, it is what it is.
Your Rams beat my Seahawks every time now, so I'd say you're successful Rams Fan Ralph.
We'll get into that. We'll see how you think the conference is going to go. I think we're going to be pretty close again, that's for sure.
Now, have you been listening to the show since we started 3 years ago?
Yes, I have. Actually, it all started with Rich on the Morning Mess. And Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672.
Oh, he's got that
Hey, guys. Do me a favor. Do you remember Rich's prior attempts at radio? They were something special. Sorry, Rich. I had to say it. Guys.
I don't think Rich is listening right now.
His prior attempts at radio? He's been in radio for 100 years.
No, the last one with Mary was horrible, guys. I'm serious.
They used to call in.
Was it Jolly Convenience Stores for breakfast sandwiches? She would drive over there. The phone was on the whole time. She was hitting on guys through every traffic light she would get to. Then she would hit on the guys at the convenience store. And then Rich would be back sitting in the studio blurting out stats that only about 9 of us could understand. This is his true calling. I'll be honest with you. The chair does feel like Archie Bunker sits in it, but I wouldn't want to take it away from him because, let's be honest, guys, Rich really doesn't have much in life.
Wow. I don't even have to say it. I can just sit here and laugh. Unbelievable.
By the way, I'm going to cult camp tonight.
You are going to go to cult camp.
And shame on Rich for not inviting your wife back to cult
She's
camp.
She's very hurt about that.
But that's all right. I hope you bring in your yoga pants tonight, Brady.
Why would I need yoga pants at cult camp?
Well, because when you get there tonight, you're going to see Rich leading the seniors with a Richard Simmons wig on to sweating to the oldies. Who are we kidding here?
By the way, I want people to use the Town Fair Tire text line. I'm sure you have some comments on Rams Fan Ralph, so use it quite often. 802-655-6672.
I want to see how this unfolds. You guys, to me, this is like the most interactive sports radio I have ever been a part of. I love it because
checks in the mail.
You know, I should get Rich's hour today. And by the way, Arnie, was this approved vacation time for Rich?
Not really, but he takes this week off every time, so we just never question him. He holds this hostage.
Oh, really? You mean like the company car?
No, yeah. That I was going to take Friday off so I can get out to Los Angeles. I can't even do that now. Rich just holds his hostage every summer. It just kills me.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to Colt Camp, though. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. I had someone ask me, do you think Rich becomes like a different person at Colt Camp? Like, does he just totally change his personality? Like, does he become a lot more fun?
Meaning, like,
Colt
does he get a personality? Or what? Wow.
Melancholy Rich.
Do you think
Rich.
He changes or what?
I think he's going to change. Yeah. I think he's going to be a little different.
He's going to say, oh, hello, Brady.
No, yeah.
Welcome to Colt Camp.
I think he's going to.
Would you like an espresso? What do you think it's going
to
change?
He already told me where to park. He's like, the parking lot's over here. Text me when you get here. I'll come out and meet you. Rich,
come
coming out
from where? from where? The woods? coming out from where?
From the silos?
I don't like the way this sounds already. Yeah. Park at the place where it says, no admittance. Trespassers will be shot on site. Yeah. And we'll come open the gate for you and we'll let you in.
Yeah, and Brady comes back on Monday with tick bites all over him.
If that's the worst thing that would happen, that'd be fine.
I'm going to be at Colt Camp tonight. Arnie, you're going to be at trivia. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Trivia tonight.
City Sports Grill in Colchester. We got some new giveaways to give away, by the way. We just got some new stuff in, so stuff to
new
give
swag.
Away. New swag.
Yeah.
City Sports Grill 7-9, 14 star Valor Ale is our special this month for $4. As we get into the show, interesting article about Kyrie Irving. Brad Stevens talks about him. Is Gronk really retired? That comes up in about 20 minutes. Buster only at 5 o'clock, but before the All-Star game, which is what we're going to get to in about 3 or 4 minutes. Rams fan Ralph, I got to ask you a couple questions.
Go for it.
How long did it take you to get over the Rams' loss in the Super Bowl? How much did that eat at you?
Not too long, I'll be honest with you. I have lost this game before to the same team 17 years prior. And, Rich, it is okay to lose with dignity. We all don't have to live in an apartment with holes in it and busted TVs.
Well, he's coming right after Ralph.
I got to tell you.
He's not even here to defend
himself. Is Rich here? I don't understand.
And that's the idea. I did say I wasn't going to do this. Guess what, guys? I lied.
Oh, so, wow.
Why do you not like Rich? Because honestly, Rich got mad at you the last time he was in here.
Oh, is that what it was? Rich doesn't get mad at too many people.
No, Rich doesn't get mad. But when you criticize Rich, he doesn't like that.
No.
So he was looking at the text line. He goes, what's wrong with Rams fan Ralph lately?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so where did your hatred of Rich come from?
Matt in Burlington says, I petitioned permanently to replace Rich with Rams fan Ralph. So you got your first compliment there.
All right, brother. Thank you. No, there's no hatred towards anybody. Guys, I love the show. I'm just a true diehard fan. But, you know, I had a good buddy of mine was a great instigator. And he said, Ralph, I wouldn't even do it if it didn't bother him. And it really does bother him. He's very somber. He can be very sour and stale at times, too.
Wow.
Wow.
Sour and stale? What do they say?
Are you going to say that you're going to take this to Colt Camp and play it for Rich or what?
Imagine.
I can only imagine when I'm not here, you've got people filling in for me.
Hey. Imagine if we're not here, Arnie, what people will say about us, though.
Arnie,
absolutely.
I want you to think about something. Yeah. If Brady wasn't here and Rich was, and you and I were,
if Brady
and
wasn't
he was
here, Rich
in
was.
Between yes. us, he would not be able to stomach the sandwich that you and I would give him.
Wow.
It would kill him.
Well, you guys wouldn't be on the air because no one would know how to press the button.
Nobody would know how to do the button for sure.
Look at this. Yeah, I do see where the control board sits.
Sits in front of me. Intern Aaron couldn't come. Neither could intern Nick. How did you become a Rams fan?
My high school in Manahawkin, New Jersey was Southern Regional High School, and that was a Southern Regional Rams. And I just kept that Rams spirit my whole life. I've just been a Rams fan. You know, that's my football team. I'm a Yankees fan, a Devils fan, NBA. I'm Yankees, all over the board.
CJ says, Rams fan Ralph is a smarter, funnier Arnie. Keep him around. I didn't know that's impossible. It's pretty much impossible to do that.
Nice. Jeez. I'm liking these. You keep them coming, guys. I'm liking them.
I'm waiting for you to get ripped like Travis and Milton.
Wait until you start getting the nasty ones and you
Ralph's
start crying like a three-year-old.
We're 9 minutes into the show. Yeah. Actually, eight if you include the update or take the update out.
Yeah.
Rams fan Ralph already going for the water.
Oh, is he doing? He was all panicky about that.
And you've got to learn how to ration the water.
Yeah,
you're going to have to go to the bathroom by the middle of segment two. You can't leave.
Don't worry about it, guys. I'm just hydrating. I work for a living. Sorry. I worked this morning.
That's work. She's coming at us again now.
Like we're salespeople or something like that.
Oh, see, there it is. That's another thing. Arnie, before I leave, I want you to promise me you're going to be nicer to the interns. I'm not saying totally, but just a little bit.
Do you understand what I do to the interns gets them ready for life. I'm doing them so much. If I just went ahead and became nice to them, they wouldn't know the toughness of the world, of the real world out there. That's why.
Yeah, I appreciate that about you. And you and I see eye to eye. I mean, you do apply that Bronx school of hard knocks to life. And in reality, Arnie, I got to tell you, I'm not kissing your butt here. You could be the CEO or team leader of my company anytime.
Wow, look at that.
You get it.
My wife wrote in, damn, he's offensive, and he's not vanilla. I think she likes that, though.
Yes, I think
she likes it. What's the pictures of
it? It means that she's put emojis that our text line can't get, so it's just come as boxes.
Oh, smiley
faces. Intern Colton already just texted me on my personal number and goes, Rams fan Ralph was pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry I didn't hit the intro, guys, because I really wanted to ace this start to finish.
The question is,
by the end of the show, we'll have a vote. Who's better, Rams fan Ralph 3-4 or Harry and St. George 4-5? Yes. As I say, you make fun of Rich an awful lot.
Do I really?
On the text line, Rich gets it from you more than anybody.
Does he really? It's funny because you were saying it was usually you and you were glad that it wasn't anymore.
So you've always liked Arnie and now you just rotate hate between you and Rich?
Yeah. If you're going to make me pick a favorite, it's going to be Arnie. I got to tell you.
I like him now. I was going to rip him, but I like him now. I like that.
Definitely.
All right, Brady, we do have a lot of stuff to get to. Busy show today, so we're going to throw Rams fan Ralph into the mix. Where do you want to go ahead and start things off?
I want to start with the All-Star game. American League wins 4-3. Yankees certainly had a huge presence in the game. Tanaka the win, Chapman the save, Torres and Sanchez each had hits. Sanchez scored a run. Yeah. Torres booted a ground ball. It was a hit off the bat of Pete Alonso, but it was a play that he could have made. But overall, what was your impression of the All-Star game from everything, from the beginning to the game itself to any of the outside moments?
I'm watching it. First of all, I like the interactive stuff with the microphone, you know, hearing the players and stuff like that. You can't do that in the regular season, though, but you could do it.
My mom hated that. She was talking to me. She goes, how the heck do they have the third baseman mic'd up? What if this ball comes off the bat at 115 miles an hour at?
Right. Well, yeah. And I like the cameras. I like the full access, but I only like the full access in games like this. You can never, like I said, you can never do it in the regular season. Can't clown around like that. You know, you can't say what pitch is coming. You can't say you better not hold me on because I'm not going to steal. And then him saying, I don't believe you anyway. I forget who said that.
But didn't that old, that helmet cam look like you were holding an old VHS recorder?
Actually, it's so funny because I told my wife, I go, I think it fits pretty well. I thought they did a pretty good job.
On the first base coach, especially. I noticed on the first base coach for the Dodgers.
There was a player that had one on. That fit into, well, maybe it was just whoever put on that helmet, maybe.
The first base coach for the Dodgers
was a third base coach.
There was more than one.
They had it on both.
Yeah, but there was more than one, but I enjoyed the full access. As for the game, I mean, it was a pretty good game. It was somewhat exciting.
It was quick, exciting.
So I enjoyed that. But, you know, I just, like I said, I don't really get into it like I did as a kid, but I can understand how you enjoyed it. It had checked all the boxes. Unfortunately, we didn't get Mookie Betts to have in a bat. You know, you always want to see the local guys do well.
I'm actually disappointed in Alex Cora in that he didn't get all the pitchers in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that John Means, who no one's ever heard of, but he plays for the Orioles. The Orioles are 100 games under 500. They're one of the worst teams in baseball history.
True.
The only thing their fans have is the All-Star game, and their guy couldn't even get in for one batter.
Yeah.
I'm actually disappointed in Alex Cora.
Yeah, you know what? I like Alex Cora, but I would have expected a little bit more out of him. Sometimes when I hear him talk, I'm not sure he's on the same page as everybody else.
Oh, he definitely. That hot take, according to Travis and Milton.
Wow, hot take there, big man.
Travis and Milton, I want to ask a question too. Actually, when he was on, he was talking about the Celtics. And tell me what I missed, Travis, please. You
are bouncing to the Celtics now?
I just wanted to get everything in the first segment. We'll go to it another time. I just wanted to know what he was talking about, because you guys tell me there were more losses than gains. That's what I see. He put it to the front office, but I don't see where the Celtics are going to be any better than they were last year.
He just hates Kyrie, and that's his thought.
Well,
Ralph, we have to stay on plan.
Stay on plan here, Ralph.
To the All-Star game.
Okay.
You know what? The game itself was good. It was quick. I liked the power. Obviously, we saw the home run by Gallo, 112 miles an hour. Blackman hits the home run, too. They talked to Blackman in the outfield after getting his first All-Star hit. Yeah. That's all cool. It's like it usually is for me. I like the romantic stuff.
Right.
I thought it was very, very touching and poignant when Mike Trout and Tommy La Stella came out wearing Tyler Skaggs' number 45.
Yeah, that was nice.
I thought that was a nice tribute. I thought the players that had, you know, the patches on the uniform for Tyler Skaggs were good, the moment of silence. I like CC Sabathia throwing out the first pitch, even though Fox didn't show it to you until the eighth inning. I liked CC Sabathia getting the recognition from the Cleveland crowd. Cora sending him out.
Good Cleveland crowd, by the way.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
No doubt.
Cora sending Sabathia out to talk with Chapman in the ninth inning. I liked all of that side stuff, all of that romanticism about baseball. That's what I like.
I was going to say, but you're leading up to a but. No, is there something you didn't like about the whole thing?
No, and the stand up to cancer moment is very, very touching. They had the Indians players there rallying around their teammate, Carlos Carrasco, who has
leukemia. But you didn't like the players being mic'd up?
No, I was fine with it. My mom hated it.
Oh, okay.
I was fine with it. I thought it was funny. Yelich is talking with Bellinger. I liked it.
I got to say this, you know, and I know this is part of his job, but I understand why. You know, Joe Buck was kind of getting me a little bit nutty. You know what I mean? It was like too much of Joe Buck. I'm not listening. In a game like this, I want to see the all-stars. I want to hear the players mic'd up. You know, I want to just take it all in. Joe Buck kind of threw him. Did Joe Buck play last night? I don't even know, Brady.
He didn't take a back seat like you're saying.
I like Joe Buck.
I like Joe Buck, too. I like him, too.
I like him, too.
And I understand, you know, they had the clown around. He said, they're going to tell me what pitches you're going to throw. And then Joe Buck's like, I don't think he heard you. And like,
Lindor was guessing.
Yeah, I know that, but I just felt like he threw himself in a little too much. That was the only negative, really, I had of the whole thing. Otherwise, I do like Joe Buck, but I there was a lot of criticism about him last night.
Well, maybe he should stick to football then.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No, not in Green Bay. They won't let him come up to Green Bay.
Yeah, no,
Otherwise, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good all-star game. And I do like the new technology, but like I said, you can't do it in the regular season. You can't clown around like that.
The stand up to cancer moment gets me every year, and it's aptly timed because today are the ESPYs, and they're all for the V Foundation. So this week is symbolic of cancer research and cancer awareness and support and caregivers and all that.
Right.
But when the Indians players and the Indians coaching staff who was there, and Terry Francona was one of them, when they go, I stand for Cookie, meaning their teammate Carlos Carrasco, man, that was pretty powerful. And it's always like 60 seconds where they show everyone who they're rallying around.
Right.
That was pretty powerful stuff. And see, those are the moments I like about the All-Star game, maybe more so than the game itself.
And I know you don't care about stuff like this. I am kind of curious.
Don't tell me about the ratings.
I do. I want to see how many
of course.
But I just want to see how many people tune in.
He's talking about people that have a heart, and
now you're going to
ratings.
But
what are we doing?
But overall, though, I just want to see how many people tuned into the whole affair, how many people watched the game, if the baseball All-Star game is still important. They really had nothing going on opposite them.
Right, so they should have done well.
They should have done well. I'm just curious to see what the first reports are. I don't think I've seen them yet, but I have Darren Revell's Twitter right there. Look, and of course, he'll break it first. But I am curious to see if people still get into the All-Star game if there is a slight decline.
I watched the game. I definitely enjoyed it, and I would watch it every year. Arnie, I always do.
Are you a big baseball fan?
Big enough where I wanted to watch the game last night, no doubt.
Doug and Milton says, I didn't watch the All-Star game and have it the last few years because of Joe Buck. He needs to stay commentating football. Is that where you got your take, Rams fan, Rob?
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Ty said, if Major League Baseball provided this much player interaction during featured games during the regular season, baseball would be a lot more popular among the 18 to 35-year-old demographics.
Look, it's fun. It is fun. You can put the players in danger if you're doing it. You talk about the balls getting hit back at them. That's one thing why it shouldn't happen. And then
Right. We
talked about this with hockey, the idea that players are going to get mic'd up. I mean, you're going to end up with some not-so-suitable things there getting on the air.
That's
you don't
true.
Want that.
Mic'd up's one thing. Do we really care people dropping the F-bombs? But I wouldn't mind a camera, like a small GoPro, as they're running the bases. I think people enjoy that. First time texter, more Ralphie and less everyone else. That's from Buffalo Joe.
Oh, Buffalo Joe.
We've never had one. We've never had one from him, have we?
No, who'd you pay? Do you pay somebody named Buffalo Joe?
I didn't pay. I've got my own fans out there, gentlemen.
How many people did you tell you were going to be on today?
Today, all right, probably about 20.
Yeah, and they're all listening. They're all texting in for the first time. We had another guy, Tom from across the lake, say that.
A Seahawks fan, just like you, and a fan of the show, by the way, also went to many Seahawks games. A fellow electrician I work with. What did he say?
He just said, he said, you're a star and be easy on the Seahawks.
And Jay Rico from Granville said, Rams fan Ralph is great. He sounds like a pro, unlike Arnie, who tends to sound like a six-year-old with too many meds. Why
wow.
do I have to be on too many meds? Why couldn't it have been controlled and sound like a six-year-old? Why do I have to be on too many meds?
You've got that, like, that. You're almost with that with me, the jersey. You just got it coming out of you. You can't stop, and it never ends.
Matt in Burlington said his wife is from wherever you said you were from in New Jersey, too.
Where?
Tabernacle or something?
Oh, no, that's where I went to high school. It was Waretown, New Jersey is where I lived for a while, and it was Manahawkin is where my school was.
That's what he says. He says, he says he got married. He says, my wife is from Tabernacle, and Manahawkin is great. That came from him. And Shane in Burlington says, Arnie, it's a lot more than the F-bombs. It's the homophobic and racial slurs
Whoa.
That terrify FCC and owners.
True.
Oh, you mean – but that's okay, though. I don't think – yeah, I think it, as we move – as we move, you know, as the years go along, I don't think we're as sensitive to the F-bomb. I mean, like David Ortiz dropped the F-bomb. Sting dropped the F-bomb on TV that was watched by millions, by billions maybe, and we didn't do a damn thing about it. So I think it's more accepted to do something
not
like that.
Not on Fox.
Yeah. I mean, you can't bring it back once you say it.
Not now, but perhaps in a couple of years, I think it'll be more acceptable.
Ty says, what the hell is Arnie talking about? But I think he means me. So what the hell is Brady talking about? NHL players are mic'd all the time during the regular season. MLB could easily do the same. Yeah, fine, maybe they're mic'd up and then they give you some cuts afterwards, but you're talking about...
Yes, that's what they do, right?
You're talking about being live and showing it. Yeah. So remember, we talked about this with Jack Edwards of Nesson with the Bruins broadcast,
right.
who believes that there's eventually going to be a second screen to watch Bruins games where one is the regular television broadcast and the other one is the mic'd, mic'd up version or whatever.
Right.
You'd have to have it on a separate network.
Like you said, you watched the All-Star game on the geeky version or whatever.
On the geeky version, and I hated it. I wanted the regular version.
And look at the NCAA basketball. Depending on who's in it, I could, let's say it's Kentucky and Duke, I could watch the Kentucky home channel, the Duke home channel, the national channel, or just like four guys sitting around BSing.
That's the choice you want.
Actually, there's a fifth one now where it's gambling through the whole game, Brady. It's like, all right, here are the latest odds. If you want to take plus, minus, over, under, it's the whole 2 hours is nothing but gambling.
RJ and Jonas will like that, like that, huh?
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
If you have the players, a little plug for the 6 p.m.
show. Yeah, take it easy.
I start from the beginning in the morning to the end of the evening, guys.
As long as, Arnie, even if you had another channel, I don't think MLB players want to be mic'd up like that. The things that they say, I don't think they want that. Maybe it's good for fandom. Maybe it'd be better for the league, but you're running a big risk there, and I don't think the players ultimately want that.
Well, I'll tell you what. They didn't want Thursday night football, but when we paid them $100,000 each, all of a sudden they wanted Thursday night football.
Bingo.
How about if we pay the players and say, we'll give everybody an extra $10,000 a game if you're mic'd up? Then let them vote and see if they want to go ahead and be mic'd up. Then I'll go ahead and decide if they need that. We'll see if they pass on that one. Still watch the All-Star game. Love the new young talent. That must be you, Rams fan, Ralph, he's talking about. This is a first-time texter. Can't stand Joe Buck. Ralph has the voice and sound good, but we'll need to fact-check him as he tries to give good information. Or you'll be fact-checked. There's no doubt about that.
The pariahs will be out.
Yes, 802-655.
Or piranhas.
Yes, 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Off and running on this busy Wednesday. Brady, what do you got coming up next?
Is Gronk going to stay retired or not?
All right, back to that again. That's coming up next year in the Huddle. 101.3 The Game.
These guys have been together so long they can finish each other's sentences. How cute. It's the Huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle. 101.3 The Game. Rams fan Ralph sitting in for the first hour today. Of course, Brady's here. Arnie's here. Brady, real quick, a quick update on what's going on.
Yeah, well, I was going to save it for the top four, but fine.
Good now. You're going to wait a half hour for that big news?
Good news for UVM men's basketball. Remember,
they're going to a new conference?
No.
Okay.
Not that. Duncan DeMuth,
yeah.
Who is a... No, Duncan DeMuth. That was right the first time. Duncan DeMuth, a transfer they've gotten in from Oklahoma State, was going to have to sit out this whole year as part of transfer process through the NCAA. He's gotten a waiver, so he's going to be able to play right away. So now you've got an Alabama transfer coming in this year, and you've got an Oklahoma State transfer coming in this year to go along with Anthony Lamb, Everett Duncan, and the rest of the guys.
I wonder if they should be top 25 preseason.
I wonder if they should move to a different conference.
Wow, you're going to start
going.
You see what you've done. You see what you've done.
You see what you've done. I was going to save it for the top four at four, and here you are putting me on
the
spot.
I'm sure we'll get back to that. All right, real quick, let's get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. Get your team ready from spring. Well, spring's over. For summer and fall, Men's League, the Little League, they've got your team covered with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Rob Gronkowski throwing with Tom Brady out at UCLA. It's too bad you missed him by a week.
Here we go. That's less than a mile from my mom's condo. I mean, seriously, I can walk there. I used to steal footballs as a kid there. Seriously, the UCLA used to practice there, and I'd watch the practice. I'd pick up a football, play catch with a friend, and we'd throw it over the practice fence where a third friend was standing outside, and he'd catch it, and we'd run off with it. I'd go there to play basketball. I know exactly where that is. I'm surprised that they would work out there. Tom must have been in town for something. Who the hell knows where Gronk
the
is?
ESPYs,
or
what, are the ESPYs in L.A.?
Yes, the ESPYs are. So that they're all, they came in for
I'd
the
imagine
ESPYs.
They're in the ESPYs because the Patriots won the Super Bowl, so they're probably up.
Too bad they're not going to stay there. I would love to go ahead and run into them. I was going to go up there and check them out. But
Patriots Nation,
cool.
You guys have to believe you have not seen the end of Gronkowski here. I just cannot imagine him not coming back. He's going to get that call. It's going to be maybe week 10 or whatever. It's too easy for him to come back to it. He's too good at it. Yes, it pains me to say it, but I definitely think we're going to see Rob Gronkowski back in the field.
How much weight? I mean, he's lost so much weight, though. Look how skinny he looks. He certainly doesn't look anywhere close to playing shape.
You know, who was ripping me yesterday because we said, you take one thing, one story, and then you say, you give a hot sports opinion. Now, just because we see Gronk and Tom Brady, you know, working out, or not working out, just playing catch or whatever the hell you want to call it, now we've got to give our opinion on that. That's our hot sports opinion. I actually agree with Rams fan Ralph. I think Gronk's going to do whatever he has to do September, October. We'll see if he's got any projects there. Usually they don't do any filming of movies or TVs around the holidays. He's going to get a little bored, and then he's going to get the call from Belichick, and he's going to say, hey, Rob, what are you doing?
Yep, no doubt. Favorable schedule.
He'll say, just shotgunning a beer, coach. What are you doing? He said, well, would you like to come back and play a little football? He's going to say, yeah. Well, he'll come back for the last four weeks.
I want to know how Gronk held up in that throwing session, because you heard, remember, in the Julian Edelman documentary,
yeah.
Edelman talked about being hung over his death the day that Tom Brady called him and how awful it was and how he almost threw up. Gronk's not in the best playing shape right now. How do you think Gronk held up during that throwing session?
My guess is he held his own, gentlemen.
If Edelman's almost puking as an undrafted rookie trying to gain Tom Brady's favor, I don't know that Gronk is in the best of shape right now.
See, this is why you don't drink. Remember when you were out there doing for the, what was it, Super Bowl? You were on Radio Row?
Correct.
And Arnie over here, what did you want him to do? Go to all the parties and come in hungover every day. Thank God he didn't. Brady, you did a great job on Radio Row.
Thank you.
No doubt.
I think he'll be back, Brady. I think by the time you know, it gets around to that, to like week 12, week 13. And it kind of depends on the situation with the Patriots
I want to know the situation. Like, what situation is best for Gronk to come back in? If it just say it's week 10 and they're 7-2, need him? Does he feel the need to come back then?
I don't think it has anything to do with so much the record. It's 7-2, 7-3. I think it's if the offense is a little stagnant.
But if they're 7-2, do they need him? If they're 2-7, does he want to come back? And if they're 5-5, does he care?
They don't need him to win the division. Heck, they could use me a tight end to win the division. I think if they could look at future, if they look as they're ending the season and say, you know, we don't have the offense Kansas City has, or we don't have the team that a Pittsburgh has, or whoever, and our offense is stagnant, and we're really not going ahead moving the ball well, but we're winning things because of our defense and because of Tom Brady, they may say, you know, bring back Gronk, bring us another weapon. But it depends on also how the receivers are doing also. It's not so much the record. It's 7-3. They could be fine and have their offense going. It's if their offense looks stagnant, then I can see them bringing him back.
What about the drive? What about the thought to want to win? It's in his blood. It's his DNA. It's his makeup. It's what he wants to do. If he gets that call, do you honestly think he's going to say, I don't think so. I'm just going to sit at home. No.
It's possible. I mean, look, I don't want Gronk to come back. And I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it the next 100 times we have to speculate on this. I want the last image of Gronk to be him catching a pass in the Super Bowl that leads him to the only touchdown of the Super Bowl that leads them to a win.
Why?
Thanks. I need to remind it again. Thank you.
Because the last thing that I want is Gronk to come back, be 80% in shape, come back, get hurt, and then just limp off the field for a last time.
But people don't care about that, and I'll tell you why.
Because people don't care about the romanticism like I do.
No,
I get that.
Not even that. You know, I'm a big sports fan. I can't tell you the last game for Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe and some of my childhood stars. I can't tell you the last game for Willis Reed or, you know, when I went some of the baseball players, the Met players back in the day. You forget about stuff like that.
Yeah,
I can't even remember tell you the last game Michael Jordan played. I don't have any. I know that Kobe had 60, but otherwise you forget. Time goes along, you forget. You remember their great careers. But you don't remember, you know, you don't remember, but, oh, well, this guy has three championships and should have four.
But don't you remember that Peyton Manning's last game was a Super Bowl win? Don't you remember that John Elway's last game was flying through the air like a helicopter?
I mean, you're going out like Jerome Bettis on top. That's the cream of the crop when you do that.
That's what Gronk
did. It's the pinnacle. Yeah, but he could reach it again. I hate to say it. It's not what I want to see. Believe
me. Yeah, he could reach it again. He could also end up with a broken back that cripples him for life, and he could end up, you know, needing a stretcher to get off the field. I don't want to even see that as a possibility.
Look, it's a favorable schedule for the Patriots this year. I'm sure everybody would agree.
It's always a favorable schedule every year for the Patriots.
I know. I don't know how it happened again, Arnie. Oh, my goodness. But it did. There's no doubt. It, believe me, they are going to do well. I wish them the best. I don't agree with everything the Patriots have done in the past and some of the things that have happened, but I concede to them. 17 years ago, you won that Super Bowl against me, and you did it again. My hat's off to you. I gained a lot of respect for the Patriots, actually, in the win against Atlanta, when Atlanta maybe handed it to them on a silver platter. I mean, you didn't just, you know, get sacked. You fumbled the ball. You were on the 10-yard line. Bam, they're in the end zone. But you know what, guys? That was created by the Patriots' good play. It wasn't so much as Atlanta fell apart. Then the next year was the Eagles. And what happened there? Maybe the only time I saw Bill Belichick get out-coached by someone, Doug Peterson.
My wife said Gronk got skinny. He's done. That's another thing. That's a point that you made, Brady.
Yeah, he is very skinny. He certainly doesn't look like, I mean, he's not coming back early in the season. We can tell that because he looks like he's lost about 35 pounds. I don't even know if Patriot fans are clamoring for Gronk to come back right now. 802-655-6672. Are Patriots fans just counting down until Gronk comes
back?
Why
wouldn't you want him back? He's one of the most popular Patriots in their history, and he's a Hall of Famer. Why wouldn't you want a guy like that? Because what do you want?
You guys were defending him being the greatest tight end ever, and maybe he is. I said Kellen Winslow Sr.
Look, I do think there are Patriot fans who agree with me that they don't want a bad memory of Gronk to sully a good one. I do think there's something to be said for the Jerome Bettis ending, for the John Elway ending, for the Peyton Manning ending. And I think I think we're in the minority, but I think there are fans that do hold on to those memories, and they want that to be the lasting image.
If they remember that. I don't think people even remember stuff like that. 802-655-6672. Right. Remember what?
I disagree with your assessment of that, by the way. You might not remember the last game that somebody played, but you remember when the guy just didn't have it anymore and they held on too long.
Yeah, that's true.
You can tell me.
Sometimes I don't even remember the teams they finish up for, like Joe Namath. Finish up for the Rams. Johnny Unitas.
Thank you very much.
Joe Montana finished for Kansas City. I can barely remember
You remember that Willie Mays finished with your Mets and was a shell of himself. You remember that?
I remember he played for the Mets. I didn't know if that was his last stop, though.
Welcome to the world of getting older.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I don't remember if he played a year or two after that. Not off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and say, okay, now I remember he played this year with the Giants, this year with the Mets.
Look, Ken Griffey ended up playing 2 years beyond this, but I will never forget 2009. The fall of 2008, Griffey was playing for the Chicago White Sox, and I love Griffey more than anybody. He got traded to the White Sox at the trade deadline, go to the playoffs. They bring him in, I think, as a pinch hitter against the Rays in the playoffs. Three fastballs in a row right past him at 93 miles an hour. And Griffey all of a sudden can't catch up to a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. That crushed me to see that.
I would never remember him playing for the White Sox.
Mariners, White Sox, Reds, Mariners.
Never would remember the White Sox.
But half a season. I remember because it was so painful.
If you would have put me on, do you want to be a millionaire? And it came up with a question, I would have failed on that one. Yeah. I wouldn't even have called you for a phone a friend. I was definitely not on that one. As CJ said, mistake of the day, Brady Elway's helicopter game wasn't his last game. His last game was the next year in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. Proves the point that you forget the last game.
Fine. How about this? His last game was a Super Bowl win. How's that? Like I said, he went out on top. So I'll give you right that I had the years reversed, but he did win a Super Bowl his last time out.
I think also he's going to miss it, even if with other projects. And by the way, I'm still curious to see what he's going to do. Is he going to be like a game show host?
He's just running out with his supermodel girlfriend everywhere.
Is he going to be an action hero? Is he going to be in the next Marvel movie? And who knows what he's going to be?
Very nice. The next Avengers movie. Yeah. There are no more.
Yeah, well, there's got to be something. I'm sure there's plenty of offers for Gronk. There won't be a way that he won't make money. That's
Jack
sure.
Manuski says, I love the Pats, but I agree with Brady. That's a smart man.
Oh. Nice.
What did he agree with you on what point?
About Gronk, about wanting him to go out on a high note.
Again, if it's not so big for the players, It's not so big, really, at all. And Ty says Gronk has lost 18 pounds since the Super Bowl.
It looks like more than that.
You guys make it sound like Gronk is the Cinderella with the glass slipper here. I mean,
it looks like he's lost way more than 18 pounds.
I wish I could lose that much weight. I wonder what, he must be going to Orange Theory or something like that.
Hanging out with his girlfriend.
Yeah, just having a grand old time. I've seen, I know he went to LA for the ESPYs, but I've seen him around partying. He was overseas somewhere, was he not?
He's been everywhere.
I know.
He's a partying fool, that boy.
That guy could do like four cities in a different country in about 2 weeks, for crying out loud.
Tommy in Jeffersonville, Gronk is too competitive to go back and not have a chance at the Super Bowl. If he comes back, they would have to be on a clear Super Bowl run. And that's a double-edged sword here. Look, if they're 7-2 or 8-1, do they need him? Would he come back for that? I mean, do they need him at that point? Will they want to upset the balance? If they're 2-7, then they certainly, they're not in a position to win, and he wouldn't want to come back. And if they're 5-5, does he see the value in it? So I don't know the situation where they say, look, Gronk is our missing piece here.
I don't think they make the call, and he doesn't take it. I just can't imagine.
Yeah, but if they're 7-1, do they make the call? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
They're not just going to make the call because they want him hanging out with them.
If they're 7-1, do they make the call? If they're 5-5, they might make it, but does he say, look, we're not going to win, it's fine, I'm not going to risk it. And if they're 2-7, then he's not worth it. So I'm just trying to figure out the situation where it makes the most sense for Gronk to come back.
If they're 2-7, both of Brady's legs fell off. And one arm.
Yeah, this year I would agree with that.
All right, well, come on back. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. They said, what is next? You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Sports Saturday. Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Wednesday out there. Rams fan Ralph sitting in for hour number one. Harry from St. George coming in for hour number two.
Yeah, so it's just the rotating, what's that thing, the conveyor belt? The conveyor belt of guest hosts.
And by the way, Brady has informed me that there'll be a national article written about our hosts that are coming in to fill in. Is it not ready or what?
At some point soon, we're going to be profiled in a national publication about our innovativeness and having guest hosts. So thank you to all of you.
Yeah, make sure I have a few things to say about our guests, okay? I've got a few comments that need to go in publication, Brady.
About your wife?
Just, wow. I need to make a few comments about the people that have come in and filled on in, Brady. I need to give my like weather grade and stuff like that.
Because you don't like your wife talking about how she was sneaking off with ski bunny guys?
Yeah. I just need some time with the article guy to make sure I get my two cents in, okay? I got to put my comments in there also. Let's get to They Said What. What do you got first up?
They Said What?
Clay Travis every day, 6 to 9 a.m., talking about why the All-Star game to him wasn't that big a deal.
Watched a decent amount of the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Not a lot of sizzle, I didn't think, in general. As like I said, the American League won for a seventh straight year. We are now in the official, I would say, in the wake of Major League Baseball being over, in the wake of the U.S. women winning the World Cup, and the Kawhi decision having been made. We are officially in the point in the season for sports fans when there's almost nothing at all going on. And I think a lot of attention will start to shift to the NFL and college football. But we got a couple of weeks to bridge in the meantime.
So Clay says yesterday, yeah, Not that fun to him because we're burnt out because of Kawhi and the World Cup, and there's nothing going on.
Well, first of all, you found the ratings. It was the lowest of all time of the All-Star game.
Yeah, 6.2. Whatever that means, it was the lowest.
And I know people say today, the day after the All-Star game, is the slowest sports day of the year. How do you deal with the fact, or how do you feel when they say, we just have to bridge the gap for two more weeks? We got a full sport going on in baseball. It's coming up to the second half of the season now. I know there's still 80-plus games or 81 games, or supposed to be 81 games. I mean, this is the exciting time of baseball. We're like, oh, we just need to get by these 2 weeks. What are we going to do?
Yeah, see,
God forbid we should watch baseball.
I think it was more geared for the day, not for the next 2 weeks.
He said we have to bridge the gap the next 2 weeks.
Until we get football.
Because that's when they come to camp. NFL camp started in 2 weeks.
It doesn't bother me. This doesn't bother me at all. Tonight is boring because there's no live sports, but
right.
I'll still watch the ESPYs. We still have plenty right. of storylines that always come out of the ESPYs. A number of, you know, look, the Red Sox won a World Series. The Patriots won a Super Bowl. We got plenty of people and teams in our area up for ESPY awards, so I'm still interested in that. I'm interested in the V Foundation work
that
they're
today,
doing.
Yeah, but that's today, though.
Just that, yeah, I'm interested. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm saying today, if today is the worst day in the sports calendar, I will still find value in today. And look, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for basketball to come, or for baseball to come back in. So I got meaningless Mariner games to watch.
Yeah,
so.
But he's like, let's bridge the gap. We have to. What are we going to do for 2 weeks?
We're going to watch the Red Sox try to get back into this thing and lead up to the trade deadline where the Yankees need a starting pitcher. The Red Sox need a starting pitcher, apparently,
but,
that they're going to try to go out
and get. Baseball is not talked about anymore, really, especially nationally.
I mean, yes, even it's a Colin, regional sport.
Yeah, Colin already started his football stuff. He had a football guest on, and he was doing some of his over-under on the college football. He's like, it's like he just jumped over the baseball season and said, let's move on to football.
I think we all enjoy the football the most, Artie. I mean, really, what are the biggest fans of all? I don't know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy 2 weeks of baseball.
and we should. We should enjoy it and embrace it. I agree.
Football is the most popular sport in the country. I have no problem with the next 2 weeks in the calendar, though, being dedicated to baseball. That's just how it is. Ralph, we got 5 minutes left here for you.
That's
Do you
fine.
Have any questions for us that you've ever
said that's
wondered?
Fine. Like, he's like, I wouldn't stay in the whole show.
I would stay till football fix because you're not talking enough about it. All right. I just want to say, Brady, I have maybe a little bone of contention with you and Rich.
Wow. With me and Rich. Rich isn't even here.
That's all right. You got to defend
him. That's okay. Rip away.
All right. Arnie and I see eye to eye in this. You know what?
Yes,
These pro players, pro athletes, are paid a king's ransom to play a kid's game. The least they could do is keep their heads up, their mouths shut. Go to OTAs. Go to training camps. When you put that uniform on, I don't care whether you want to be a role model or not. You are for the rest of your life. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about the coddling. Oh, my God. I don't want to hear about how Gettleman's got to take Landon Collins out, Brady, for a latte. And what do we have to have? And what do we have to have? Drake give him a back rub? Don't tell me. I'm just saying. Here's an idea. Guys, I don't show up to work. I don't get paid. I don't perform. I'm on the unemployment line. Last thing I got to say, if I'm the Boston Red Sox, I take Chris Sale's paycheck, I roll it up into a ball, I hand it to him, and I tell him to practice with it before he cashes the damn thing.
Wow.
So is that a question? Or
no, it's just a whole... It's, with the coddling, I don't... You guys seem to think that they need more.
Can they let him address it one at a time?
Okay.
Yeah. Please, Ralph, it's not... let's go to the Landon Collins thing first, okay?
Okay.
You're an electrician, right?
Right.
Is it your business or do you work for somebody else?
It depends, but this case right now, it's someone else's business.
Okay.
I'm an employee.
Okay. If you are the best employee, if you are the most high-profile employee, if you are the highest-paid employee, don't you think that you're going to work better if the guy at the top at least shows that you're somewhat important?
No. My take is, with my heart of hearts, I know I gave my employer the best work I could. I was there. You know what? He looks me in the eye when he gives me my paycheck, Brady, or he doesn't. But the money's in the bank, and I know the next week my work will be solid, too.
But don't you like knowing that you're valued?
You want the attaboy.
Yes, there you go.
You
Boom.
Want the attaboy.
Mute Rams fan. Ralph, you're muted. Ralph, you're muted. Stop talking for a second, okay? You want the attaboy. You just said it right there. That's what Landon Collins wanted. And Landon Collins, look, these guys all have egos just like you have an ego, and I have an ego, and Arnie has an ego.
Oh, my God.
I have no ego.
Landon Collins wanted that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Dave Gettleman mishandled that situation by not showing his highest profile employees that they were valued at all. That is a problem.
Well, Gettleman has mishandled a lot.
By the way, okay, you're making my point for me. He lost his job in Carolina because of how he handled the veterans on
that
team.
You're right about that.
Wouldn't you fool me once, shame on me, or fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me? He's doing the exact same thing with Landon Collins that he did with Steve Smith, Greg Olson, and others in Carolina, and it was wrong then. He lost his job for it.
Keep your head up. And keep your mouth shut. That's all I have to say.
Hot sports opinion.
You can't come up and pat me on the back and expect that pat on the back. I don't get it. I know you might want it, Brady. It's just not the way the world is.
It's the millennial world. In the world of millennials, that's what they expect.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom from across the lake, you don't need the praise to be great. You just need to be great. The praise will come. if you have to ask for a pat on the back, maybe you don't deserve it.
Nice.
Landon Collins was an all-pro.
And that's your Seahawks fan, buddy, right there.
That's true.
Landon Collins is an all-pro caliber player, a Pro Bowl player, a high draft pick. I mean, what more does he have to do? Now, I understand he didn't have a great year last year, but he's talking about when Gettleman came in, but he came in the full season before.
Right.
He came in before last season. So training camp, mini camps. See, all those chances were had to show Landon Collins he was a valued member of the organization.
And he was. It's not that. I just think you're not going to come up to the guy and take him out to dinner.
Yeah, he was real valued in the fact that they ran him out of town, practically. Didn't even franchise tag him. Real valued.
I guess that's your take on it.
I'm just saying, the fact that they didn't re-sign him, the fact they didn't even talk to him about re-signing, shows that they really didn't value him. And that's one thing. If you have no intention of bringing him back, then fine. But at least while he's there, try to get the best out of him. They didn't do that either.
And it shouldn't be the case, but making the point more valid, he is a very good player we're talking about.
By the way, Harry is in your office, I think.
I don't want him in my office.
Well, it says here on the Tough Retired text line, hey, guys, I'm downstairs. So I'm just assuming they...
Maybe he went to the wrong building.
I don't know where he could be.
I hope he's not stealing my bobbleheads.
There's no downstairs, really, except for your office. I just figured there. So did you have a good time, Rams fan, Ralph?
I enjoyed this.
Is it all you thought it was going to be? Is it harder? Is it easier? I mean, you
It's
tell
about
me.
What I expected, I guess. I didn't know how the reading of the text would be in the format. I just wanted to see how you guys did all this. Again, love the show. Huge fan.
It's harder than you thought. Huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And I would embrace the moment anytime again. Gentlemen, thank you for my moment in the sun.
Wow.
I thank you both.
Ralph, thank you.
Who knows? Maybe you should buy a lottery ticket later on today or something.
I'm going to play the audio of him ripping Rich at Colt camp
today. That's going to be great. All right. Thanks to Rams fan Ralph for stopping by. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. And then we'll get you ready for hour two. Harry in St. George stops by. I'm curious to see how this one's going to go. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Thanks.
This is 101.3 The Game. Sometimes Arnie talks so fast we can't even understand it. But we love him anyways. The Huddle is back on 101.3 The Game at 101.3thegame.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Wednesday out there. I'm exhausted after Rams fan Ralph. Is that how I make you feel, Brady?
It's a little bit overwhelming. Gosh. When both of you were just going, at me the whole time.
I tried to slow down. I'm like, I'm going to take this hour off.
But you know what? Ralph was so excited. He's like, I get 1 hour to do it. I'm just going to do it.
That was
fine.
He's
just like, I'm just going to go.
Well, you started with starting the show with all over the place.
Who's just hammering Rich.
No, but it was hammering Rich, and then he went to baseball, football, Celtics, paddle tennis, I don't know what, the ping pong. He was all over the place. Introduce our next guest.
Well, why? Because you forgot his name?
No, it's just Harry from St. George.
Oh, okay.
Harry in
St. George is here with us hour two. Harry, thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good-looking guy. Very good.
He's a lot more buff.
Ralph. You're buff. You're tan. I mean, have you been texting into the show for a long time? How have you been listening?
He's probably one of the ones that your wife was going out with
25
years ago.
How old are you?
54.
Oh, my God. Would you believe we're the same 54 age?
54, Southern accent. I'm like, is John Wayne in front of me? Like,
this guy looks 20 years younger than me. Does he not or what?
Yeah,
he does. He looks like, when we're talking about an Orange Theory Fitness, you might be able to row like 200 watts. Yeah. He's like 400 watts.
If this was like pictures, I'd be the before, he's the after. You know, seriously. He's all buff. He's got the collared shirt on.
A full head of hair.
Oh, let me tell you something. I bet you the women 40 and older love you. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy,
okay, so don't talk about that, because his wife is probably listening now. So
yeah, she's listening. Yeah, we got friends and family all over the Southeast listening as well.
Friends and family all over the Southeast. So what brought you to Vermont? Because you have a very distinct Southern accent.
Yeah, started skiing over in Lindenville, Burke Mountain, on a station down in Boston.
I told you, skier, by the way.
Yeah, snowboarding. And
that's how my wife probably met him. My wife probably dated you. Go ahead.
I already used that joke 20 seconds ago.
I know, but I throw it again.
Do not.
I'm sorry.
By the way, I'm going to Rich's Colt camp today.
Yeah.
But Rich is breaking the rules of Colt camp.
Usually you're not allowed to have outsiders.
You're not allowed to have your phone. No electricity, right? That Rich always tells us. No electricity, right. No nothing. Rich has been texting me today, directions to there, and he's commenting on things on Facebook. I'm like, if this camp is so great that you can't do anything else, and there's no technology, you're commenting on Facebook?
Do me a favor. Okay. Right?
Throw his phone in the lake?
No. So you have an emergency. Your car got a flat tire, and that Arnie will be driving you out the cold camp. He's not staying, but he's just going to be dropping you off. See what he would say to that. Oh, and can Arnie have like a burger and come on in and say hi? See, he would be a full-fledged panic if you did something like that.
He would be. How do you think my trip to Rich's cold camp is going to go today? What do you think it's going to be like?
Yeah, I think you'll get up there, you'll have a couple cold beverages, end up staying tonight.
Stay the night.
It's not sleepover camp for him.
Arnie, I
would sleep with one eye open if I were you.
Arnie thinks my organs are going to be harvested. Or something.
I totally believe that.
So
believe me, I've seen some crazy movies in my time. You're going to be one of those guys.
Trivia tonight, City Sports.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll be at Colt. What if we just switched? I do trivia. You go to Colt camp.
No, I wouldn't even do that. Okay. No, I'm not doing that. I like going to trivia, and even if I didn't like going to trivia, I wouldn't switch with you anyway.
So you'll be there, City Sports Grill, 7 to 9 p.m. 14-star Valor Ale is on sale for $4, so it's going to be a blast. Tons of giveaways, tons of great prizes, and we've missed you at trivia because we didn't do it last week because of the fireworks on July 3rd.
Harry, who did you bring in with you? Is that your son?
Yeah, it's my son, Deacon.
How old is he?
Deacon, what, 11 and a half?
11 and a half.
Your son's name is Deacon, and he's wearing a Wake Forest Demon Deacon shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Is that planned?
Is that the way it is or no?
That's the way it is. That way I know who he is.
You ready for the top four?
I'm ready for the top four. Let's get at it, Brady.
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day, but here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top four at four on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Number four.
CC Sabathia honored last night at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I don't know how many more times I can say how much I love the romanticism of sports, and I love those moments that take you away from just the final score. We got that last night with CC Sabathia. He's the winningest left-handed pitcher in American League history. He spent the first 8 years of his career in Cleveland. It's his final year of his career. No, he didn't play in the game, but he throws out the ceremonial first pitch. Alex Cora sends him out in the ninth inning to go to the mound so he can walk off one more time just to get an ovation from baseball fans, from the fans in Cleveland. I love that. Good move by Cora. Good move by baseball.
I want you to do me a favor. It's going to take you a while, so I mean, you can't do it.
No, I probably won't do it.
No, you should do it, because I bet you'll get a lot of comments on that. And maybe I'm completely off on this. I like CC Sabathia, but if you did your list of top 50 baseball players of all time, he's not making the list. You understand that.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, but no, he's not in the top 50.
Okay, so that's my point, though.
So you think we've made too much of a deal about him?
Look, when we do the top 50 list of basketball players, we have a lot of guys that were somewhat current, right? You know what I mean? You're talking about a guy, you're romanticizing about a guy that's not even in the top 50. And you said he's the all-time leading left-handed
wins in the American League.
So you think he'd be up there, but he's not. He's not one of the more popular ones. That's why I said if you did your list of top 50, I bet you people would comment on that. They say you left this guy off, you left that guy off. He would not. I thought you were going to tell me he'd be like number 30. We were going to argue.
No, he's not
in the top 50.
CC wouldn't be in the top 50. No. And I would say that there was too much made about CC last night if it hadn't been in Cleveland. Because it was in Cleveland where he played. Where he played the first 8 years of played 8 years.
Well, you don't remember that. You remember the Yankees, though.
I just won a Cy Young in 07. I remember that perfectly. So the fact that he played in Cleveland for 8 years, I think it was appropriate. If he hadn't played in Cleveland, this was in San Francisco, I would say, okay, what are we doing?
Right.
Hey, I'd agree with you. Though he was a Yankee Red Sox fan, it was great to see him play.
It was great to see him play. And a guy who, I mean, look, he's anchored multiple teams towards the playoffs. I mean, remember back when he was traded to Milwaukee, they got him and he just carried the team all the way to the playoffs. They go there, they didn't win the World Series, and then he comes over for the Yankees in 09, I think, and they win the World Series in his first year when they go on that big spending spree where it's A-Rod or Teixeira, Burnett, Sabathia. Right.
Teixeira, what did you think about him on TV? Did you like him or what?
Well, I love Teixeira on TV, but he works at ESPN, so he wasn't on last night.
No, but he did the home run.
Was watching the Nerdy Channel,
because I was saying he was pretty good. Maybe I watched a different channel, but I think he did the home run contest. I could be wrong on that.
So you're a Sox fan, even though you're from the Deep South.
Yeah, well, I grew up on Atlanta and TBS. That's all we had. Didn't know about the Red Sox really.
So who
was all about that?
Who was your favorite Brave?
I like Sid Bream. big goofy
the
first
worst
baseman.
Of them all. You
hey,
know I mean?
Come on, he was great.
Sid Bream, he was the one who scored on the gimpy leg in 92 coming around third against
who
the Pirates.
Who did we have on?
Dale Murphy.
Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy on.
Isn't it nice that I know you? Your wife your wife told me I didn't know you
well.
Yeah,
yeah.
She took a shot at me yesterday saying I didn't know you that well. I just finished your sentence before you even asked the question.
All I have to say is, what's that? And Brady will go, oh, Dale Murphy. Dale Murphy, that's who we have.
So, Beth, if you're listening again, don't say that I don't know you.
She was wrong about that.
Don't say I don't know you. I said we're radio married. You spend more time with me than you do with her some days.
So. Absolutely.
Top four at 101.3 the game.
Number three.
Well, Arnie, we've gone from Sony Michel's going to get 2,000 yards rushing to now Sony Michel just hopes to be ready for training camp. So that's where we're at. Sony Michel, Patriots running back, he says yesterday to the NFL media department that he hopes to be ready for training camp. Remember, he had that knee scope this year. I mean, like, I'm not going to say I'm worried, but I'm very, very aware that Sony Michel's health could be an issue for the rest of his career.
No, I am worried here. Remember, I said he was going to be the best running back in the history of the Patriots, and he very well could be if he does stay healthy. It doesn't look like that right now. I'm not so sure that the Patriots might not have to go out and get themselves another veteran running back. Not a rookie running back, a veteran running back, another one besides all the 80 that you like, Brady, that together them, I don't even add to one of them. I may have to see what comes out from camps and to see the situation with Sony Michel. I need somebody. You know what I would trade for? What's his name?
Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson.
Boom. I told you I knew you.
I was thinking about that because he just got rid of his agent. He wants to get
traded from Cleveland.
And he's not a guy that has to demand the number one spot, but he's a guy that says, hey, I'll see where my opportunity comes. If Sony Michel's not healthy, he's obviously has good experience, and he catches the ball out of the backfield.
Yes,
So that could be a win-win situation.
I love Duke Johnson. Yeah. I said from the start that I would try to trade for Duke Johnson. I don't know how they'd make it work money-wise now at this point, because Duke Johnson does have a long-term deal where he's making some real dollars.
Does he?
There,
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how they can make it work, but if Duke Johnson could ever be on the Patriots, I'd be so in on that, it's not even funny.
Yeah, there's something about LeGarrette Blunt's back out there as well. He's on the waivers.
Yep, LeGarrette Blunt is a free
agent.
That
wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad also.
Now, because you're from the South and Sony Michel played at Georgia, have you been watching him play for a while?
Yeah, I kept up with him and Nick Chubb when they was on there as well. And they were just excellent when they were in the backfield there. The Oklahoma game, again, the Rose Bowl, I think it was 2017.
I mean,
that was a heck of a game.
Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, and Todd Gurley all at Georgia, I believe, at the same time. So, again, I'm not ready to have full-scale panic about Michel, but he missed the preseason last year. He missed three regular season games. He's had a knee issue in college.
Right.
And now he had a knee scope after the season. And now we're hoping that he's ready for training camp. This is a guy then who is going to, I have to imagine, take it at least somewhat slow through the preseason. I imagine they won't give him a full workload or anything in the preseason. I'm sure he'll be very, very handled with kid gloves in the preseason. So I wouldn't go that they need a veteran right now, but if there is somebody on the scrap heap, I would not be afraid to pick up somebody if I can make it fit roster-wise.
Shane just wrote this in. Duke Johnson is James White. You guys need to stop hammering on this. We just started. What do you mean stop? We just started. They need a first down back, not more third down backs. So what's he saying, that they need more feature
backs? He's saying they need
backs,
a feature back, not a bunch of...
Oh, so now Duke Johnson's not even good enough now? Who does he want?
I mean,
Gurley's not available. Yeah, I just want him to know that. There.
Yes, he wants somebody like that. Jay Ajayi is available.
Okay, but that comes with a price tag also. And
it's a free agent.
Not a bad
one. I don't know what the price is for that, but, you know, I don't know, 1 year, $6 million? I don't know what it is.
He slowed down ever since he, you know, was
left
with
Miami.
Philadelphia.
Ever since he left Miami. Yeah. And he got, I believe he tore his ACL last year, if I'm not mistaken. So.
I think Sony Michel, if he's, you know, just going to be a little bit banged up, I'll get somebody to fill in for him. I think Duke Johnson's a much better answer. I don't know why he said that, though, why Shannon Burlington put that in. I think he's disgruntled with all the running backs that Patriots have.
He's just saying that Duke Johnson is a guy who has the same skill set as James White, and he's right about that. Duke Johnson is a better between-the-tackles runner than James White is, but they both are pass catchers out of the backfield. The thing I love about Duke Johnson is that I think Duke Johnson is a guy who's a better version of James White running the football and a better version of Rex Burkhead passing the football. He can play in the slot. He can play out wide. He can be a wide receiver and a running back where they have deficiencies at both in some capacity. I love Duke Johnson. I'd make it happen in a heartbeat if it was possible.
Harry?
Yeah, but isn't he more of an outside running back? I mean, somebody back in to bring it back up the middle hard.
Yeah, I don't care about stats. Up the middle, you know, outside, you know, you're a running back, you're a running back. You're going to run either way. That doesn't bother me at all.
Look, Duke Johnson is a guy, he's bigger, he's thicker than James White.
White.
James White is a guy who definitely will just bounce it outside if he gets the carry. Burkhead will run more up the middle. White will bounce it more outside. Duke Johnson can do both. He's certainly more. He can certainly get more vertical than James White.
I'll tell you what. I think more people agree with me that, let's just say, Sony Michel Knockwood wasn't available this year. I think more people would agree with me that what I have left on the roster, forget about it, Brady. I know you love
it. No. I would not give Rex Burkhead, James White, and Damian Harris 30 carries cumulative a game. I would not do that. If you told me Sony Michel could not play this whole year,
you're okay, then, okay.
I'd go look for Jay Ajayi. I would go look for that guy or see who gets cut or whatever. But I love Burkhead and I love White as compliments to Michel. I do believe the Patriots can win giving Michel the ball 18 times a game, Burkhead and White a cumulative 12. I do believe that. I don't believe that they, though, can carry 30 times themselves.
Yeah, but the first month of the season, the Patriots are always up and down anyway. They're trying to figure out how to get the things going.
Yeah.
They'll find somebody that'll come out, be cut on the waivers or something like that.
I don't know how many people are going to get cut on waivers before the season starts, though. You're going to have to, like what Arnie said, if you're going to make that kind of move, it's going to have to be somebody who gets cut at camp. And we are underestimating a little bit Damian Harris. He's a guy who is a guy who they drafted in the third round out of Alabama, who can run between the tackles and can be a physical runner. Now, I won't put all my eggs in a third round rookie running back because you don't know what he's going to turn into. But
could be a surprise, though. That's fine.
He is a guy who is a physical runner who can give them that presence if Michel is limited in any way.
I think you're going to have to keep your eye open on that. Yep. You have to see that. That'll be the next major move that the Patriots are going to have to make, Brady.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
MLB is apparently blaming Mookie Betts for his lack of, promotion?
Lack of self-promotion.
I guess so, yeah. I think that's the way of saying it. So basically, people have said that Mookie Betts deserves more exposure for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball fires back and says that Betts turns down every opportunity. He turns down commercials.
Yes,
he turns down national ad campaigns. And Red Sox chairman Tom Werner, he has confirmed that Betts has declined some opportunities.
He turned down the let the kids play commercial that you liked. He's turned down just about everything. That was probably not a paid gig. That was probably more for the promotional of Major League Baseball.
So do you begrudge Betts?
Yes.
Like, do you think Betts has an obligation?
I do begrudge Betts for not doing that commercial, that one commercial. I don't begrudge him if he doesn't want to take advertising, if he doesn't want to be like the next spokesman for Tide or
Subway.
Altoids or whatever. Yeah, Subway.
Do people use Altoids anymore?
I don't know, but I if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to make that type of money, that's fine. I understand that. But not to promote the game, not to go and do the commercial for Major League Baseball and for the kids, too. For the kids. He's not comfortable in front of the limelight. And let me explain something to you, okay? I would say this to him real clear. I go, look, if you think I'm going to give you $400 million and you're going to pull these shenanigans I'm giving you $400 million to not only play baseball, but to be the face of the Boston Red Sox. You're not going to be in the back. You're going to be the forefront. You're going to be right there in the first seat on the bus. You're going to have your picture all over the place. It's going to be on every time I sell the damn magazine of the Game Day magazine. You're going to be on the radio broadcast, the TV. I'm going to feature on everything, so I don't want to hear any BS about you not liking to be out in the forefront.
Look, I agree with that. I don't believe that Betts has an obligation to Major League Baseball to try to grow the sport. As much as I would like for him to, I don't believe he has an obligation to do that. I do believe that whatever team gives him his $400 million, he 100% has an obligation to them to help grow their franchise and buoy their franchise. I totally believe that. As far as an obligation to Major League Baseball or to advertising dollars or to national ad campaigns, look, if he wants to be the hermit superstar, then I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. If he doesn't want to take extra money to go do that stuff and he just wants to play baseball, I am fine with that.
But the day
that he takes $450 million is the day that he owes it to that team.
Where would the people be now, the players now, without the players before them that set the way, that went ahead and promoted baseball so more people would go, so you get more television revenue, so they can earn the money that they're making, okay? You know, where's the maybe I should do these commercials now for the next generation that wants to come after me, just like the generation before me that made things great? You got to look at stuff like that, Harry.
No, the way I'd look at it is, he's a superstar. He's there to play baseball. And that's all he should have to do. You can fight it on both sides, which in radio you have to go on one side or the other. But let the man play baseball.
Don't sign autographs? Nothing? Don't even sign autographs for the kids, right?
He doesn't have to.
Look, I want him to do this stuff, okay? I'd love for him to do it. Trout does it, and I don't think Trout wants all this stuff. Trout does some of this stuff, at least. I mean, you know, and last year was Rob Manfred was going after Trout, saying he doesn't promote
it. He's not comfortable doing it.
He doesn't promote it. But he did the commercial. He did the opening to the All-Star game yesterday, you know, about I am... You know, the commercial was like, you know, I may not be what they want me to be, but I'm exactly who I want to be. Like,
and what is that? Mike Trout? I have no idea what you want to be.
You got to watch the 1 minute commercial. So that was it.
But my point is, he's oblivious. If I saw him in LA, I wouldn't recognize him.
As far as bets goes, again, I don't think that players in baseball, football, basketball necessarily feel an obligation to grow the game unless they feel that their portion of the population is being slighted. What I mean by that is, like, Yao Ming felt an obligation to grow the game in China.
Right.
Okay? Guys who are European players feel the need to grow the game in Europe, where the game is underrepresented. Or Steve Nash feels the need to grow the game in Canada, where the game is underrepresented. I don't think that these American players necessarily feel the need to have to grow baseball, football, basketball, because they already see baseball, football, basketball as big. Women's soccer feels the need to try to grow the sport. Skateboarding feels the need to try to grow the sport because they're out of the big three. Snowboarding the same way. Skiing the same way. But I just don't believe that American-born baseball, football, basketball players see that obligation because to them it's already huge.
Well, that's why baseball's in the position that it is. That's why they're losing viewership. That's why since 2010 the viewership for the All-Star Game's gone down a third. And 2010 wasn't even a great ratings period, and it's gone down a third. They've got a major problem, and until it's going to be addressed, baseball is going to fall out of the top four.
Yeah, if you want to watch baseball, win. I mean, if you want to have a good product, you got to win. Remember back in 2003, 2004, the Red Sox, this whole area was on fire.
Right.
You know, I just got stationed in Boston and watched that town go crazy. People staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch a West Coast game against the Angels, whoever they're playing out there, the A's. Harry, and going into work the next morning, man, it was rough.
Harry, I disagree with something you said a second ago, though. You know, Mookie doesn't need to sign autographs, all that. You've got an 11-year-old son in the studio with us right now. If you go to Fenway Park and Mookie blows him off, you're going to say, it's okay, not his job.
Well, we got your guys' autographs.
No one's asked us to sign anything.
Yeah, so. We got yours at the golf course that one.
Oh, that's right. They came down to the golf course.
Came out to the golf course.
All right, last one.
Last one.
Number one.
AL beats the NL last night 4-3 in the All-Star game. They now hold a 2-game advantage in the All-Star game. We talked about CC. We talked about the ceremony beforehand. The stand up to cancer moment was very powerful, as it is every year. All in all, it's an exact representation of what we see as baseball. You saw some home runs, and you saw a bunch of strikeouts, and the game was played relatively quickly, which was nice. Overall, it was a good game, but it's exactly what the game is today.
What's the stat? Now the American League 19-3 in the last 22 against the National League. What the heck's going on?
But what's crazy is the National League has like a 14-game advantage in interleague play this year over the American League.
I don't know. Look, again, it was. I kind of agree with Clay. It was. There was not a lot of sizzle in this thing. It was fun. It was for a night. You had it on TV. You go back and forth. You're eating your dinner. You're watching a little bit of it. But all in all, it was just more of an exhibition like it's supposed to be.
That's all it is. You know, the home run derby was a lot better and more fun to watch myself.
Actually, it was probably better than the game. Yeah.
Derby was great.
Yeah.
Did you feel good because Pete Alonso not only won the derby, he had a 2 RBI single, so the Mets Mets won something?
But, you know, because it still doesn't do anything for me. I'd rather go ahead and be in the pennant race than do well in the All-Star game and the home run contest.
But you're not going to do well in the pennant race. So.
We're not going to do anything. It's going to be... You see, we're already out of it. That's why I said split season's the way to go, but I'm not going to go ahead and throw that down your throat now. But,
please don't. Yeah. That and conference talk, I don't want.
That and new conference. Cool. Vermont.
And it used to be that the All-Star game determined the home team in the World Series. They don't do that anymore. So why do they, you know, it's just there.
The All-Star game is fun. It is a showcase of baseball. It's good. I'm glad that it's where it is in the calendar because there's nothing else on. So there are people that are going to watch it. Look, I'm sure it got higher ratings than an average regular season baseball game
on ESPN or Fox.
I'm happy that baseball has its own, has this weekend and this week to itself.
I would like to think Dodgers... Dodgers Red Sox or Dodgers Yankees would have better ratings than the All-Star game.
Dodgers Red Sox on Friday. We'll let you know.
That's going to be fun. I wonder if everybody's making the trek down there. Any of our listeners said, what the heck? I want to go see the Dodgers.
Well, we gave away some tickets to it, so I think
that's nice. That's sweet. You want to get in 802-655-6672. If I wasn't going out of town, I should go down there and check out the Dodgers.
You got your buddies, all your cronies in L.A. who fly with the team.
Geez, I should. They're going to be out here? And, of course, I'm going out that way on Saturday. That's the way it's got to be. Harry from St. George sitting in with us this hour. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
We're going to learn a little bit more because Harry was in the Navy, and I got a lot of questions.
Oh. And Coast Guard.
And the Coast Guard.
Wow, look at that. We'll
he could probably beat you in a swimming race.
You don't know that.
Well, he probably could.
You don't know that. You're in the huddle. What do we point through the game?
Clay Tan and Colin are opinionated and confident, and they don't even compare to Arnie. It's the Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle. 101.3, The Game. Beautiful Wednesday out there.
Harry, 90, that's not so beautiful.
That's beautiful. What are you talking about? Okay.
Hey, speaking of weather, by the way.
Yeah. That's right.
Do you see that? Well, it's out now officially.
Yeah, I saw the big news.
The big news is that our buddy Sean Parker from 2244 is leaving television.
Shocked.
He's absolutely shocked. He's still going to be in the area, so he's not moving. We can still be friends with him. He can still be a friend of the show, but he's no longer going to be on TV at 2244.
Absolutely devastating.
He's leaving. His new job will be not in TV, not in weather.
I'm afraid to ask what it's going to be. You know what I mean?
I know, but he hasn't put that out yet, so I'm not going to say. But it's not a TV. It's not in weather.
Movie star. Maybe he's going to do some acting. You don't know.
Maybe
that.
He'll be in the Pool Boys sequel.
But maybe he'll they do the Hallmark movies here, right? Maybe he could do that. He could be one of those love interests in the
Hallmark
movies.
He's good enough looking for that. Sure,
good looking guy. He could be the guy that walks around with a lumberjack shirt with an axe and says, "Yes, ma'am, I'll get right to it. I'll chop up that wood." So, I'm serious. I think he could do that.
But he said it's not in TV. So that would be TV.
That would be TV. You're right. All right. I'm very curious to see.
So that opens up the spot for you to be the chief meteorologist.
I don't want to do weather. I really don't. I really don't even want to do the news. I just want my own half-hour show.
What would you do? You'd be out of material in 5 minutes.
Oh, stop. I do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and 6 hours on the weekend for a quarter of a billion people. I think I could come up with something for a half
Not
hour.
Not on TV, you couldn't, though. It's a different beast.
And you get like 12 minutes of commercial, so it's only 18 minutes.
Harry, would you watch Arnie on TV?
No.
Okay. Why? Because he'd break your screen?
What's wrong with me on TV?
Hey, TV's HD, man.
I mean, come on now. I think I could pull it off. They should give me my own half-hour show right after the news.
Yeah, I've always wondered how you guys can do 3 hours talk radio around here.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Is, yeah.
Is it harder than you were expecting?
Harry's like, after 10 minutes, I ran out of material.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester, located right on Heineberg Drive in Colchester. It's your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Harry, you were in the Navy and the Coast Guard.
Navy and Coast Guard. So, Navy for 4 years, 8 months, 3 days, and about 22 years Coast Guard.
So, wow, they know exactly to the day.
Did you get out of school and decide that you were going to – did you go to school for military?
No, I got straight out of high school in North Carolina. And
so what was the reasoning?
Buddy and I, we got laid off working construction jobs.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know what? We got to get out of here in small town North Carolina.
I thought he was going to say, yeah, me and my buddy went out drinking one night. We're like,
that was all part of
it. Where's your son, man? Let's go
and go see
the world.
Went down to see the recruiter that Saturday morning. He was like, nah, you guys come back when you're serious. So,
I pictured like Stripes or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was quite similar.
So you go to the Coast Guard. So where have you been around the world?
I've been stationed everywhere from Puerto Rico to Alaska.
Wow. Which is your favorite place?
Puerto Rico was great for the baseball.
Yeah.
I was down there for the Caribbean World Series.
Awesome.
You've been to Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I've been to Puerto Rico.
I'm shocked they let you cross borders.
Actually, my dad had...
Although it is a U.S.
I know this is Harry's segment, but I just want to tell you, my dad was part of the tobacco firearm thing, and his job... was the ATF, and his job was to go to Puerto Rico and taste the alcohol to make sure it wasn't getting watered down.
Make sure it was strong.
Yeah, to make sure it was strong. That was his job, to go to there and some other bars.
I just picture
and
this.
And make sure the alcohol was right.
The stories that Seymour Spanier could tell.
He had a lot of them, no doubt about that.
Yeah, Puerto Rico was great, man. The people were wonderful. Had my own lime tree. You know, and mango tree, and rum was pretty cheap, so a lot of scuba diving, fishing, and baseball.
Wow, that's the life.
So how difficult is life in the military, Coast Guard, Navy?
You know, if you're active duty, and it goes, you know, for other branches of service, well, you have a group of people you're always going to know. Now, when you get the spouses, you know, male or female, and the kids involved, it becomes a lot harder on them. You know, a spouse has to quit their job.
right.
to move with you.
Yeah.
And they're always starting over. It's challenging. You know, I want to say thank you to all the veterans out there and people who are serving active duty right now as well. And that goes for the firefighters and EMTs and police officers, school board members, you know, anybody that has to do anything with, you know, keeping our government running as well. You know, thanks for all that. But I tell you, man, you leave for 6 months at a time or 2 months or 2 weeks, whatever it may be. It's hard. Life goes on without you. Then you come back in and you try to insert yourself, and that doesn't always go so well.
Reacclimate yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
It's tough to get on in there.
Did you get deployed in any active conflicts?
I was on the forestall. We were over when Libya stuff first started happening back in, I guess, what, 86, 87.
Wow.
And, you know, the Coast Guard always had, quote unquote, the war on drugs. So we're always deployed doing that job. But, you know, migrant interdiction, you know, when people were leaving Haiti, that was hard. You know, when you're picking up people at sea.
Right.
And they've been out there for 7 or 8 days, yep. no water, and they just want to come to America to be free. And you got to pick them up and take them back. It's heartbreaking. You know, we're all a nation of immigrants.
Yeah.
Got to be tough. I know that. It's got to be real tough.
Arnie, yeah, go ahead. What do you got? Because I know you got questions.
No, I more is just about, you know, you living here. How long you been listening to the show? You said from what, the very beginning, right? Is that what it was?
And, yeah, the very beginning.
Because you tweet in also, you text in or tweet in all the time also. So, you know, I think like every day we hear from you, right?
Yeah, when you guys changed formats, I gave you a hard time when you went from the mothership to...
Yeah, we love hearing that.
Yeah, you know. But overall, you guys, you know, like Trey Travis in the morning, he's come a long ways. At first, it's kind of like, wow, this guy's a knucklehead.
So you didn't like us at first? Is that what you're getting to?
I've always liked you guys. You know, you guys always been fun. I know Arnie, you know, he's like the cousin that you don't want to see that often. But he's our cousin.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, nobody else can talk bad about
you. Wouldn't take him to meet your parents.
No, absolutely not.
I have him over for a beer.
Yeah,
so. I love it.
Except Arnie's not fun and doesn't drink beer anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna have.
Yeah.
They're gonna be more. You know what? No, they won't even give me a beer at cult camp because Rich said there's no alcohol there.
I don't believe that.
Rich said, what kind of cult is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Rich said no alcohol at cult camp.
Well, because that's to get all the Kool-Aid you want.
And, by the way, I did get confirmation. No bathrooms, just outhouses.
I told you. I told you that yesterday.
So only outhouses. No, so we
be careful when you go in the outhouse, too.
I'm not going to go. I'm going to go here and then go again.
Be careful when you're by yourself. Because, you know, sometimes you could be walking around and they have set traps for animals and you're hanging from a tree upside down with your leg in a rope or something like that.
We talk about me living in potentially Spartan conditions tonight. What are some conditions you lived in that I got to imagine have been pretty tough and challenging?
The probably the biggest one, we're up in Alaska and they gave you 4 days survival.
And is that a training exercise?
Yeah, it's a training exercise. They put you
in the winter.
It was probably like March, so yeah, it was still snow and stuff.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Was it negative?
No, it was right on the water, but you know, maybe got down to like 22 or so that night because you know Alaska's set differently than what Burlington is. But you know, no food, no water,
eight guys.
You'd like. Find a hole, fill it over pine branches and stuff so you can stay warm.
How do you eat?
You get out in the water and you grab clams and oysters and stuff.
There's no vending machine for you?
Nah, dude.
How long do you think Arnie could last in those conditions?
Maybe an hour?
Well, he'd go a while. He's got a little bit.
I'd be cold. I'd go, Brady, I'm cold. I need some M&Ms with Rich.
Yeah.
Please, I need some tuna mac. I just can't do this.
Maybe I'll bring Rich some M&Ms tonight because I'm sure that's the one thing he misses while at cult camp.
Absolutely. You got to bring that for him.
Harry, because you're much more strapping than Arnie is at this point, I have to ask you, at 54 years old, how much do you bench press?
Right now, I could probably get around 240 still.
Well, that's me. I'm about 241.
You might weigh 240 where you can just bench you. But.
Oh, jeez, 240. How about that, huh?
Back in the day, I got 380. So
380?
I did 381.
Yeah. How much is sports a part of the military life? How huge is it for you guys?
All the time. You know, the coolest thing was on ships, I was always a radioman. And back in the days before you had email and such like that.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Yeah, you get stuff like that. I remember I was up in Alaska and my captain was a big Packers fan. And I was a Carolina fan at the time because I was from Carolina. And AFARTS Radio, Armed Forces Radio Television Service, they were broadcasting the game. and I patch it throughout the ship so we listen to it.
Huh.
You know, that and always getting the scores first and going down, maybe make a little bit of money because somebody else know who won the game or what scores were. So, you know, you scam a little bit. But, yeah, you know, softball, football, basketball all the time. You know, intramural sports is a big thing.
Years ago, my national show was on Armed Forces Radio.
Yeah.
So I would get a lot of military people tweeting, you know, asking stuff because they weren't able to keep up on their team. It was a remarkable radio. It was just fantastic to have people in the Armed Forces Radio listening. And believe me, they respond. It was an absolute blast. Do we want to get to Mookie Betts here real quick?
Well, you can get to a couple of text messages first, too, by the way. Donnie says he was stationed in Ketchikan. I don't know what that is.
Ketchikan, Alaska.
Oh, okay. So Alaska. So he's happy that he's got some serendipity with you. Jamie in Hyde Park says, I totally agree about Clay Travis. I didn't like him at first, but I've done a 180 and believe he's the best in the business now. And he means after us. So,
and I do. I'm a big fan of Clay also.
You like Clay because he stirs the pot.
I do. I love that. I love all that stuff. And I love that the people attack him. And he just takes it. I love that.
Well, he's very, very good at being able to take it. He's very, very smart. He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer from Vanderbilt. Yeah. Well, so he's incredibly pretty good. Yeah.
And he's a great guy. I met him. We've had him on the show twice now. Once we had him on the phone where we all talked to him. Once we had him on at the Super Bowl when just I talked to him.
Right.
He was a great guy. He was super accommodating, super willing, does whatever you know we need as an affiliate.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, because
I think he'd be a prima donna, but I guess he's not. Like,
you're a prima donna. You won't even do my podcast.
No, I won't. I don't talk to anybody. Yes. So,
Rams fan Ralph says, Harry, Alaska is beautiful. I've been there 5 times.
Yeah, I was in Fairbanks.
Need to get to Mookie Betts because Harry's got questions for us that he wants to ask us in the next segment.
All right, then we'll get to that. Maybe we'll get to a little bit Mookie Betts also. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game?
You've been sitting through the whole break. We appreciate you, and we know you have a lot to say. Now, get those phones ready to call in or text at 802-655-6672. It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What about point three? The game. My wife is texting me like a mad person right now.
Are you okay? Is your car okay?
No, the car. She says what does it mean when the engine is overheating sign comes on, and it says to idle the car?
I mean, stop driving.
No, just she goes ask someone who knows about cars to tell you. Just start the car and go home. If the car's running, go home. It's not going to overheat. Don't worry about it.
It could start overheating and start smoking.
Why would it do that? It's not that hot outside.
Let me see. I had a car once that was overheating, and I had to turn on the heater when it was overheating. And somehow that would counteract it.
She asked me questions. Ask on the radio, do I turn the car on with the heat in or take the heat out of the engine? I don't even know what kind of question that is.
I had to turn the heat up when my car was overheating. Turn the heat up.
Turn on the car and go home. How about that?
What if the car starts smoking?
It's not going to start smoking.
That's what overheating is.
No. Close the hood and go home, for crying out loud. How far can you be from home? It can't be more than 10 minutes. It's not like she's in Boston or anything like that.
She texted in, help, help,
yeah, I know.
Help.
She's like, help. Help what? She's on the side of the road with the hood up.
Call AAA.
And just sitting there.
Call AAA.
Call AAA.
Yeah. I go, guess what? You're going to sit there till 6, and then guess what? Then I'm going to go home, get ready for trivia, and then go to trivia. So I'm not even going to pick you up. at 6 o'clock. So just start the car and go home. I don't understand what the problem is there. But see, this is why I didn't want to buy the Cruise. I wanted to go ahead and buy a luxury SUV car. But my wife's like,
because they don't overheat.
I love those cars. I love them. I love them. Right, Tom, now you get to love it all you want now.
Tom from New York says, start the car, drop the windows, let it run for 10 minutes.
All right. There you go, Beth. There's the answer there.
Yeah, just make sure there's no water coming out from underneath.
I don't care if there's water coming
Jason
out.
Jason in Plattsburgh, she can text the show but can't just simply Google it.
Yeah, why didn't you Google that instead of asking me and my wife? I love my Cruise. Yeah, you love your Cruise when you're sitting on the sideline, on the side of the road, doing nothing, but you can't get home. How much are you going to love your Cruise?
802-655-6672. We are here. We're joined by Harry in St. George. Harry, this is the question period that we have if the listeners or the co-hosts have questions for us. Now, you're soliciting your son Deacon to come ask your questions?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get up, though. So
he's a little too radio shy.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so what is the weirdest job you ever had that is not in broadcasting?
The weirdest? You want to go first, Brady? What's the weirdest
job? You probably have had more. You're older than me, so you probably had more jobs.
Well, I was a security guard in the Olympics, but I didn't want to carry a gun. They asked me if I wanted to carry
a gun. You were a security guard in the Olympics?
In the Olympics.
In what, 84 Los
Angeles?
Los Angeles. Wow.
And I'm like, they go, one guy next to me, I remember this, he goes like, oh, yeah. I want a gun. You better believe I want a gun. And I'm looking at this guy. No, I'm going to pass on the gun. I'm going to make sure that doesn't get in my hands. And then I used to work at an ice cream shop that was kind of the new way of doing ice cream where you put it like on a slab and then you mix stuff in. It was like Steve's ice cream. But I would talk everybody out of mixing it in because it was pain in the butt to clean, so I would just throw it on top. But I did garbage jobs like that. Nothing too crazy. You
the
know?
Weirdest job I ever had was, I mean, not all that weird. I moved cars around a car lot. I mean, that was about it, though.
Pain in the ass jobs is what it is.
When I was making $9 an hour at the radio station, working 20 hours a week.
You're going to get rich at that point, huh? So
$9 an hour, 20 hours a week. Oh, no, they'd give me a raise to $12 an hour by that point. $12 an hour, 20 hours a week. Deacon, you want to get your feet out of my back? I'm like sitting in a bad airplane here where I'm just getting kicked in the back. So, no, but so I was, I was $12 an hour. I was coaching baseball for 16-year-olds and also moving cars around a car lot.
Listen to you, $12 an hour. When I was 16 years old, I used to vacuum clean stores for $3.65 an hour.
Yeah.
And that was a raise from $3.50 an hour for minimum wage, $3.65. And I said,
you were 16 back in like the 1970s.
I know that, 1930s. And then I became a Christmas tree tier. Jewish guy, Christmas tree, and they would come in by the Christmas tree, and I would tie it to the car, and I would just do it on tips. And let me tell you something, that was a hell of a lot better. I'd make like a couple hundred hours a night.
It's like working on total commission.
Oh, it was great. Tips are fantastic during Christmas time. People feel sorry for you, but that was a great gig. I always loved it. Maybe I'll do that this year.
No. Moving cars around a car lot, that was the only thing I had to do. And I would just try to waste as much time as possible, and like I would just try to take the easiest job, which is like just washing the cars, because it's like 110 degrees. And I would just wash the cars and spray myself with water as opposed to actually doing like running back and forth to get every VIN number in the lot.
Pain in the butt.
What else you got, Harry?
Yeah. The next one is, what is the craziest sporting event you've ever attended?
Well, like the craziest game?
No, the craziest
or
atmosphere, sport. People outside.
Well, I've been to a lot of SEC football games, and you know, it's certainly ruckus out there. There's no doubt about that. It's actually crazy.
Yeah.
With the SEC fans, especially when you see the Alabama fans, the Auburn fans, the Georgia fans. I was at a Georgia-Tennessee game. It gets crazy. I mean, you'll see brawls in the parking lot. I don't know if I have one. The craziest one I remember now, the Philadelphia Flyers-LA Kings I went to. And the Flyers used to dominate the Kings. And this game was in the Forum in Los Angeles. And my buddy was a Flyers fan. And he gave us all Flyer jerseys to wear. And we were just cheering for the Flyers. And they were winning in the second period. They were up by like 2-3 goals. And people were getting sick and tired of us and throwing hot dogs at us and beer and ice. And we're just having fun. And that's when one guy stood up. I think I told you this. And it was this big, tough guy. And he points to me out of all the people. He goes, "You're going to give me a hickey." And I'm not even sure what that meant at the time. But I didn't want to find out.
Does it mean what I think that?
I'm not sure. I didn't want to find out. And we ran out of the Forum. And they chased us out of there. To our cars, and we barely got out alive. So that'd probably be my craziest thing I ever went to.
My craziest game is any game at Old Yankee Stadium. I mean, the fans at Old Yankee Stadium are just brutal. I mean, they're just ruthless.
They are. Like, they are.
I've told you the story
about Field Pavilion.
Yeah, I've told you the story about how I was 10 years old. I wore a Mariners hat. They weren't even playing the Mariners. They were playing Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I got booed out of the bleachers. Like, as a 10-year-old, wearing a hat of a team they weren't even playing. I've seen Yankee fans give the finger to the scoreboard. I've seen Yankee fans
the harshest.
Go at a group of Japanese tourists that were there to watch Ichiro with racial slurs. Like, I've seen all of that at Old Yankee Stadium.
I was in right field, and we showed up in the second inning, and somebody was sitting in our seats, and I told the police officer and the usher.
This isn't LA. You can't show up in the second inning.
Can you move him out of our seats? And the police officer looks at the usher and he goes, get out of here. You go sit in the left pavilion. You don't deserve to sit here. Like, wow, these guys are tough, man. Don't mess with them. Unbelievable. Don't mess with the New Yorkers.
What other questions?
Yeah, another one. Let's see here. What is the most money you've ever bet? Did you win or lose? And what did you learn from the event?
This is definitely an Arnie one. The most money I've ever bet is like $20. Well, I've lost more than that before. I mean, I've lost up to like 100 at the casino. I mean, I've lost money like that, but on one single event, one single game, no, it's like $20.
I think I've maybe bet $500 on one game once, but I mean, I'll bet like 100 on 10 different games and see and let that ride, because you don't think like you're going to lose all 10. The most I've won, though, I bet $100 on Sergei Bruguera to win the French Open at 20-1, and won $2,000.
Did you bet it before the tournament started?
Yes, before the tournament started, 20-1. Somebody gave me the tip in Vegas. I was living there, and they go, "You want to bet this guy to win the I think it was the French Open or something." And I'm like, "Sure, I'll do that. Give me." I put down the $100, and he won. I thought I was the richest guy in the world, man. I'm like, "Wow, look at me! This is awesome."
The most I've ever won was like 240 or something. Like I turned $40 at the casino, went to 240 in like 5 minutes, and I walked out. So I didn't even chance
that's what
it.
You gotta do.
I didn't chance it beyond that. So I'm not a big bettor because
you're not a big gambler.
I like doing it, but I like just doing 10 here, 10 here, 20 here, 20 here. Like I don't have
you're not like Rich, 50 cents here, 50 cents there.
I don't have the cojones to go like, you know, 200 a pop. Yeah. I don't have that.
Well, I do, but I just don't. I'll do that, but I haven't done it in a while.
And, Arnie, I'm sure everybody wants to know this. How in the hell did you end up from the Bronx going to Arizona?
Arizona, not Arizona State.
Yeah, Arizona State's cool.
No, I didn't go from the Bronx, so I moved around a lot. I actually started in seventh grade or sixth grade in Los Angeles. And then I was in Los Angeles for high school. And then I went to Colorado, University of Southern Colorado. I used to tell everybody I went to USC to play basketball. And then I went to Arizona. So that's how I ended up there. I needed someplace close to California that would accept me with my lousy grades. So
I didn't, What were your grades like in high school?
High school, I would say maybe like a 2.5 at best.
Of lack of effort or because of lack of intelligence?
Total lack of effort. I would not crack a book if my life depended on it. There were times I would have an A or a B in the class, but would get a C or a D because I didn't show up for like maybe a month and a half.
You just skipped school?
Dude, we're like
near the beach.
3 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Did I just skip school? We're 3 minutes from the beach.
And you had your long hair and ponytail and all
you're
that.
Damn right I skipped school. I had a Fiat Spider with a convertible. Of course I went down to the beach. What the hell's wrong with you?
Is that
you?
Where you also had the stupid license plate like Love and Life or something?
No, Life is Easy when I had the Porsche, but that's when I was in college. When my parents tried to buy my love. So
D4 diploma, right?
Exactly. We got to wrap things up with
Harry. That's
it.
That's all for Harry.
That was another quick hour. What did you think? Is it hard? Is it all you thought it was going to be? Was it easier than you thought it was going to be? What did you think?
You guys are interesting to hang out with. Real quick, though, I'm going to say something for all the veterans out there. Look, if you're ever needing care, if you're ever concerned about anything, make sure you get in touch with VA.gov. And, you know, for the young ladies out there, Title IX, make sure it works for you. If it doesn't, raise hell and get your parents to do it as well. You know, this is a big sporting world. And everybody be participating in play.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, Harry and St. George. Brady, who do we have tomorrow? Do you know?
Tomorrow, Andrew in Richmond.
Andrew in Richmond, a Buster Olney mere minutes away.
Our next co-host, Buster Olney.
Yes. So we'll talk to him. Brady will tell you what's trending, then we'll get you ready for Buster Olney. You're in the huddle. What a point to the game.
Heard. And don't say he's from Randolph, Vermont, because he's from Randolph Center. It's our MLB insider, Buster Olney. That's in to left on the huddle on 101.3. The game.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game on a beautiful Wednesday, mere moments away from Buster Olney. Brady will get Buster Olney on the line. Remember I told you my wife had been pulled over on the side of the road. The car was overheating. I said, would you stop it? Just put down the hood, get in the car. It's not going to break down, and just drive home. Well, my wife, of course, listened to exactly what I said, and then she breaks down on the side of the road. So if you're near Whale's Tails and you see a silver cruise on the side of the road going southbound, stop over and pick up my wife and take her home, please? Because there's a picture of her. Is that a police car behind you, Beth, by the way? Can't that guy help you? Can't the policeman help you? I don't understand. The car's almost a new car. Why it overheats and breaks down like that? So once again, if you're driving in the area and you see the gray Cruise, just pull on over. It's right by Whale's Tails, 89 South, and just pick up my wife and take her home, please. Thank you. Thank
just
you
don't be much. Just don't be a ski bunny.
Yeah, don't be a ski bunny. Let's go to our guest, the ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing okay, guys. What's going on?
What did you think of the All-Star game last night, my friend?
I thought, look, there were some tremendous moments that meant a lot. You know, I mean, especially in Cleveland with Michael Brantley getting a big cheer before the game. Carlos Carrasco, when they had the stand but cancer moment, to see all the Indians stand around him and give him support, that was really cool. It's good that he seems to be getting better. And CeCe Sabathia at the end, getting the chance to go out in the ninth inning and visit the mound as he got honored. I thought those were really cool. Now, the quality of the game itself, it wasn't a great game, that's for sure. It wasn't nearly as good as the Home Run Derby.
Yeah,
I saw you put out on Twitter that you thought that might have been the best Derby ever. Do you stand by that statement a couple of days later?
Well, I said that I had there were two Derbies for me that this one stacked right up with the Todd Frazier Home Run Derby in Cincinnati in 2015, the year they changed the format to go to more of a timed situation for the hitters. Absolutely. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it was funny to me that I think the Peterson and Vladdy Jr. matchup was so unbelievable, basically with the three overtimes, I think it was, that by the end of that, it was like the crowd was just worn out. I mean, they were gassed. And you could feel that. And, you know, Pete Alonso did a great job in that final round, but you could tell he was even trying to get the crowd going and get some energy. But I don't think they have anything left to give after that great matchup between Peterson and Vladdy.
Buster, you mentioned the CeCe Sabathia ceremony. He throws out the first pitch. He goes out there in the ninth inning to talk to Aroldis Chapman to get one more ovation. He seems to be pretty revered around the game, and that's something that I knew he was liked, but I didn't think it reached the level that it apparently has.
Oh, yeah. I think in my time covering baseball, he's the best teammate that I've ever seen. In terms of how accountable he is. And I find myself, when I go and speak to groups of high school kids or college kids and doing my job, I find myself, and I've told CeCe this, telling more stories about him and his mom and how he was raised to be accountable than anybody else. And that, you know, certainly is that sort of accountability and tolerance and inclusiveness has resonated in clubhouses. I think that people really learned a lot about CeCe in 2008 when he got traded to the Brewers from the Indians, and he was about ready to become a free agent, and he started taking the ball on 3 days rest. My favorite story to tell about that is that when the Brewers did that repeatedly, his agent at the time, Brian Peters, called the Brewers and general manager of Doug Melvin and said, "Hey, well, you know, what are you doing here? The guy's a free agent at the end of the year, and that's not really fair that you're asking him to do that and putting so much at risk." And CeCe found out about that and called Brian and said, "You don't ever do that again. I'm doing everything I can to get these guys in the playoffs. I'm not worried about the contract. I'm focused on the Brewers and trying to win. And you know what? Come down to the hotel. I'm going to buy you lunch. I'm going to yell at you some more." And he was great for the Brewers, and then he signed the 7-year 161 with the Yankees. And during that time, when the Yankees were wooing him, Brian Cashman said to him, "Look, not only do we need you on the pitching staff, we need you to come in and change our clubhouse culture, which stinks." And he has absolutely done that. And here's another thing, too. And at some point this season, on Sunday Night Baseball, we're going to do this. It was Paul Byrd who played with him was telling me, CeCe for me is the best teammate that I've ever witnessed. And Paul Byrd told me, he said, "Yeah, you're telling me." He sends out the best Christmas presents ever. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Every year, his Christmas card is like a Christmas present /events, greeting. It's unbelievable. And I asked him about it, and he said, yep, I send out about 500 every year. All, you know, so many of his former teammates are on his Christmas list. He really is just a terrific person.
Buster Olney of ESPN, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. It's home to New England's largest selection of trailers online at luckystrailers.com. Buster, Arnie and I were talking about, was there too much made of CC last night? Like, does he have, like, are we thinking of him too high, giving him too much of a send-off? I said no because it was in Cleveland and he used to play there. If that game had been played in Miami, I would have said yes. Do you think he would have gotten that same tribute everywhere or just because it was Cleveland?
I thought it was the perfect fit because it was Cleveland. So, of course, Arnie, you're wrong. I mean, that's just a simple fact. And I agree with you that, it, you know, Cleveland had a lot to do with it. And I'm sure that that was part of the discussion. Okay, how do we, you know, how can we have a great event in Cleveland? I don't know if they would have done the same thing in another city, but it worked out great that it was there, where, you know, the fans there love CC and still respect CC for what he did there. And so I think that definitely was a big part of it.
Buster, what'd you think of all the access to the players, the mic, the cameras, the helmet cam,
all that? I love that.
You love it all, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you get the personality. It was funny because I, you know, I got, I talked to Fred, I was doing work in the National League dugout for ESPN Radio during the game, and so I talked to Freddie after he came out, and I asked him about the byplay between he and Verlander, and Freddie kept saying to me, he said, I didn't get a chance to swing the bat. And he said that someone on the staff immediately sent in the video afterward, and he said that every pitch Verlander threw was right on the black. What's that about? Like, you know, two curveballs and right on the black. You know, I asked Kristen Yelich, and I didn't actually see the clip of him and narrating catching a fly ball deep in left field, but I asked him, I said, were you able to do this? Yeah, I tried. Tried to do a good job with it. Why not? You know, just get the players having fun, and you can tell that they were enjoying it, enjoying the moment, and that's, to me, is what it really is supposed to be about. And I think this is the last year that I'm going to complain about they don't play the games to win anymore, just because it's never going to go back. But, I mean, within the context of what they're doing now, I thought it was great.
Buster, a lot of the media stuff was interesting this week. First, what'd you think of Justin Verlander slamming the baseballs and saying that they're juiced?
Well, first off, and Manfred has acknowledged, and acknowledged a few weeks ago, that the baseballs are different. We've been talking about the baseballs being different for the last couple of years. But I think the fact that Justin said it on the same day that he was announced as the All-Star starter is the reason why that before yesterday's game, he got called into the principal's office, and Joe Torre and Jim Leland, who, of course, they work for Major League Baseball now. Jim Leland used to be his manager. They chewed him out. Look, I personally think there are a lot of different factors that contribute to the home run. I think the ball is definitely a big part of it. I think the way hitters have played it are a big part of it. I'm not wild about, you know, the way that Justin did it. And my question is that, you know, baseball has gone through a lot of ebbs and flows with the equipment, the ball, you know, the style of play. And what would it sound like if in 1968 or, you know, 2008 or 2013, some hitter came out and said, you know what, the ball's dead. It stinks. It's a joke. How that would be perceived, you know?
Right.
And what the base, and my question is, what makes the baseballs right or correct? You know, what's the correct baseball? Is it when it fits Justin Verlander's specifications?
Right.
I bet you there are a lot of hitters who would probably disagree with that. And that's why it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. The other thing, too, is that I just don't believe that there's some massive conspiracy on baseball's part, because I don't think baseball's that organized and that smart. I don't think they could pull that off. And, you know, the other thing, too, is keep this in mind, that in order for Rob Manfred to do something like that, he would put the owners at hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars at risk, according to the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, because by, according to that agreement, he can't affect, and by national labor law, he can't affect a substantive change like that without running it past the players.
Wow.
And that's something I think is forgotten in this case, and I heard from, you know, team management people were saying to me yesterday, you know what, if they were sitting in Manfred's shoes, they would basically challenge, go through a legal challenge to the union and basically put Verlander in his place by saying, if you got something, you got proof, then step up.
Wow.
Or we're gonna go to a grievance because of what he said.
Wow.
Buster, another media thing that was interesting was J.D. Martinez addressing his contract situation. Should Red Sox fans feel better or worse about what he had to say about his future in Boston?
Well, there are a couple things going on here. You know, I mean, he's certainly still chafed by the fact that there wasn't more action on him before he signed with the Red Sox. But here's the thing. I don't think that there's necessarily going to be a lot of action on him this fall because the perception of him as being a DH first guy and being someone that you really can't play in the outfield, that's going to continue. And when you look around at the landscape of the American League, who needs a designated hitter, okay? We know that the Yankees aren't going to because they have Stanton, they have Judge, they have other sluggers on that team. So they're not going to be the team that pays him. You know, the Tampa Bay Rays aren't going to pay him. And you can go through that exercise team to team to team. It's going to be really difficult for him to get a huge contract in the offseason from another team. And there's no question. I feel like, you know, when the Red Sox didn't address this in spring training, that probably gnawed at him to some degree because, you know, that opt-out clause is there. And it'll be very interesting to see what the Red Sox decide to do when, presuming that at some point he opts out of his deal.
Now, Buster, the Players Union, Tony Clark says that baseball doing a poor job of marketing Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts. They say, no, he doesn't want to be anything. He doesn't want to be in the commercials. He's turning down endorsements. He didn't want to be the kids in the kids baseball commercial. What's going on here? What's happening here?
Well, first off, I mean, it all comes back to this for me, is that there's the collaborative nature of the relationship between Major League Baseball and the Players Association is the worst that I've ever seen it.
Wow.
It's awful. And, you know, that you could tell that the two parties yesterday, as Tony Clark and Rob Manfred spoke, they're talking past each other. And how long have we been talking about, boy, wouldn't it be great if baseball did this, or wouldn't it be great if baseball did this? Wouldn't it be great if they address service time manipulation? Wouldn't it be great if they market the players better? All that stuff can't happen unless the two sides are talking and collaborating, and they haven't been. And it's really awful. And you do get into situations like this where, you know, I agree. You know, Mookie should be a great star, but there has to be some sort of a process through which the two sides are working together to make that happen. I really don't think it's constructive for Tony to blame baseball for all by themselves for not doing that, because the union certainly hasn't stepped up either to come up with a process to market these guys in the most effective way possible.
Buster Olney of ESPN, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Stop by the Colchester location. See Tom Chase in truck sales, more than 35 years of experience in the trucking industry, luckystrailers.com. Buster, second half of the season, what's the key for the Red Sox to try to make a playoff push?
No doubt, Chris Sale. I mean, if you were to list 10 things that have to happen for the Red Sox to make the postseason, I think Chris Sale would be 9 of them. They just need him to perform better because, you know, and I talked to one of the Red Sox people in the last few days. I'm like, you know, what do you think going forward? He goes, you know, we need the big guy. Big guy's got to step up and pitch better and be more consistent than he has. And Chris Sale would be the first one to say that. I also think, I mean, let's face it, before the deadline, they need to do some things. But I mentioned to you last week, you got a sense that, you know, folks in the front office are like, yeah, we're interested in trying to make this team better, but we're not going to go nuts to try to do it unless we see them perform better. And last week was good because they won 5 out of 6 games. But let's face it, they were playing poor teams.
Yes.
And we'll see how they do as they move forward.
Buster, how about the Yankees? They want a starting pitcher. Is it going to be Stroman? Is it going to be Boyd of the Tigers? Are they going to go after Bumgarner? What can they do?
What can they do?
Well, here's the thing, and I think Stroman definitely fits. I don't think that Bumgarner is going to be an option for them. I think you know, any team that really relies heavily on analytics, and the Yankees might be right near the top of that list, there are real red flags around Bumgarner. Stroman, I think, fits because he's demonstrated time and again he loves the big stage.
Yeah.
And he's a Long Island kid. He's been all but lobbying for a trade to the Yankees We saw last year that the Blue Jays and the Yankees are capable of doing business together because they made the J-Half trade. And I've been saying all along, I think the Yankees, not only are they going to get a starting pitcher, but I absolutely think that Brian Cashman, their general manager, will wind up making a strike for a reliever. And it'll be because people look at the bullpen and say they don't really need bullpen help. Brian, through the years that I've known him, absolutely believes in having overloaded bullpens. And so I think they're going to get one big bullpen piece and one rotation piece. And these will be players. The guys they target, I think, are going to be players that they'll control beyond 2019, which is another reason why Bumgarner doesn't fit, because he's a free agent in the fall.
Buster, the one team we should be keeping an eye for the second half that maybe is coming in under the radar that's going to explode, and people can say, well, I knew they were going to do that. Who should we keep an eye on?
Boy, and some of the options that are running through my head, you're probably going to go, yeah, we kind of knew that. Like, I think, I talked to Brian Snicker, the manager of the Braves, the other day.
Yeah.
They just keep getting better and better and better. Now, they're already leading their division, so that probably doesn't qualify for what you're looking for.
Right.
The Indians are doing well, but I think there's some smoke and mirror stuff going on there a little bit.
Right.
So I don't know if they'd be capable of. And if you guys can figure out the National League Central, you can get a Nobel Prize. Okay? 'Cause all five of those teams are basically trying to figure out exactly what they are. If you're looking for one sleeper team, I'm really fascinated by the Cincinnati Reds.
Ooh.
Because they have terrific pitching. I think they've been played better than what the record indicates. And what they need, which is an offensive bat, you can get one of those. That's easy to get in this current marketplace. And I think they'll make a deal for a hitter before the deadline.
He's Buster Olney, the ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, always a pleasure. Back to work with you now that the All-Star break is done. Have a great week, buddy. We'll speak to you next week.
You guys, too. And by the way, Brady, I don't know if you heard, I'm starting to take the gloves off and dealing with your brother as the producer of my podcast.
I heard you ripped him because he went to sleep the other day before watching all of the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, what's that about? How could you be related to someone who does that?
Buster, my brother and I are very, very opposite. He is very, very regimented. He gets up at 5. He likes to go to bed by 9. I told him, I said, stop admitting that on the Baseball Tonight podcast that you didn't watch the Home Run Derby in its entirety. I just said, just lie and say you saw it.
Yeah, and then I would quiz him. But now that you've told me that, I'm just going to break him down every time.
Well, he'll watch it in the morning. He'll watch it on tape. He'll watch the most in-depth highlights ever. He just likes to be in bed early.
I'm going to expose him.
Please do. Please do.
Buster, take care. Right. Buster, all the everybody joins us every week. It's always good to talk to Buster.
Yeah, my brother gets to talk every day. He's now the lead producer of Buster's podcast.
Yes.
Before, it was this guy, Josh. And so then Josh was leaving to go do something else at ESPN. So my brother was kind of hybrid filling in, just learning how it was done. Now Josh is gone. Now Troy's doing it all. And yeah, my brother, how dumb can you be to just admit that you didn't watch the Home Run Derby
on
Buster's podcast?
Lie, for crying out loud.
So
he
now has Twitter haters coming at him.
That's great. That is great. By the way, my wife got help. Guess who pulled over and helped her?
Somebody from Orange Theory.
Harry.
Harry in St. George?
Yes, he did.
Well, he's a Navy guy. He would know.
He pulled over, helped because my wife actually started the car back up from Whale's Tails, got almost to the exit or right down to the exit 12.
Yeah, and then started doing it again.
She had to pull over again. And Harry, that's how you get home. You get off the exit 12.
Yeah.
So, because he goes to St. George, which is to the right.
Yes.
Where Whale's to the left. So he says he thinks it's a hose and, I guess they got the car started back up, and she is almost home. She's at by Lenny's, which is right by our house.
Wow. Well, good for Harry and St.
Harry,
George.
Way to go.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another story about Rich.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
What the hell is Rich doing? So you know how Rich will basically, when they have food here in the morning, he'll save bagels for four days or something.
Yeah. So I think when he does trivia, he'll take a couple slices of home of pizza and save it for a couple days later.
I had hot dogs for lunch today. I had a couple extra hot dogs just hanging in my fridge. I brought them. I kept them refrigerated. I brought bread to serve as buns. And I'm like, I tell myself, I don't need to bring mustard or anything. We have that in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I heat up the hot dogs. I just put them in the microwave. Nothing crazy. And I go to grab the mustard. I'm about to put it on. And I go, I better check and see if this is still good. 2017, this mustard expired.
I don't think mustard really expires, though. You could still use it, can you?
I threw it out.
No, you could still use it. Does it smell?
Mustard from 2017.
That's okay. It's only a couple years old. I don't think really...
A couple of years.
Mustard ketchup. I don't think they really have an expiration.
Now I know why Rich has it all over his shirt, because he's afraid to put it in his mouth because it's 2 years old. I mean, 2 years old, Rich is what... Like, this is what Rich is using.
Well, he doesn't care. He has no idea that it's two years old.
I threw it out.
He would take that home. What are you talking about?
2 year old mustard.
No.
I want no part of. No,
no.
Thank you.
There's. I wonder what the usually expiration date of mustard is. It can't be that bad. I don't understand.
It's 2 years old. Would you have milk that was 2 years old?
No, not milk.
Okay.
I just threw away a carton of milk just like the other day. I wouldn't do that to milk or yogurt.
I'm not doing...
Fruit, bread, I understand that. But, you know, mustard and ketchup, I don't think they had big expiration dates.
Brady
like
is
that.
Such a wuss, someone writes in
yeah,
on the text
line.
Yeah,
he's such a pansy. You're right. That's right. They should have just had the mustard gotten sick.
Usually I'm the first one to say, it's only 3 days old. It's only 5 days old. Oh, Best Buy yesterday. Who cares? But 2 years, that's where I draw the line.
If I took pictures of some of the stuff in my other fridge that like it turned green from casseroles, that we just sit there. I go, are you going to throw that out, Beth? You're going to grow something with that.
Well, I should have brought it to Rich's cult camp and said, here you go. I brought the condiments for tonight.
That you should have. You absolutely should have.
The cookout at the cult camp. I can't wait.
That's going to be a blast.
I'm wearing cargo shorts and a t-shirt. Am I overdressed for cult camp?
Yes. Yes, you are. And
What should I be wearing?
You should be just wearing your dirtiest shorts and any shirt that has holes in it is what you should really is what you really should be wearing.
Do you think Rich has listened to any of us this week?
I'm sure he did. I don't know. And I like what he said. Well, there's no radios in cult camp, so we can't listen to the show all week. And I'm thinking to myself, well, don't you have a telephone? And we do have an app.
Yeah.
So can't you listen through the app? It's like, well, we have no electricity. I go, you don't need electricity to listen to your phone there, knucklehead.
Well, you got
to
charge it, so you can listen for one day. But
yeah, listen for one day.
He's been texting people, I know. Yeah. He's been checking Facebook. So how invested in this no electricity vacation is he?
I don't buy it for a second.
I'm going to have to document photos.
What would he do if I gave out the address to cult camp and have all of the listeners meet you there?
He'd quit.
Yeah, he'd quit. He would definitely quit.
Jason in Plattsburgh, mustard can be kept for years after the use date if properly refrigerated.
That's what I told you.
So here's what I'll say to that. Yeah,
not mayonnaise, but mustard.
Maybe it hasn't been properly refrigerated, and that is not a chance I am willing to take.
I'd be willing for you to take that chance.
It probably has a 2-year shelf life.
Yeah.
So it's all the way back from 2015.
Yeah, but that's not bad.
Mustard that's not 4 years old?
4 years old.
No, thank you. I'm good.
No, you should have used it.
I'll pass on that.
But Brady, please recycle the container that's making Grand Isle. You know you threw that away, too. You didn't put it in the recycle. You can't recycle stuff that's dirty.
It's got stuff that's all in it.
Yeah.
So.
It boils down to not throwing stuff away if it isn't yours, Jason in Plattsburgh. Yeah, who brought in the mustard 4 years ago or 3 years ago?
That's true.
Rich might have brought it in last week from his house. Who knows? It might have just been sitting in his house. He didn't know.
Oh, man.
All right. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Gordo. Wins a big award.
We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Red Sox are champs. The Patriots are champs. Life is good for everyone except Arnie. It's The Huddle, now on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3, The Game. This is why I need a new car. Both my cars break down. Chris says, isn't it sad that Rich's beat-up car works better than the one of Arnie's cars?
Well,
but Rich got a new car. Yeah, he got a new car.
Yeah, he doesn't have a beat-up car anymore.
Rich got a brand new one.
He got rid of the Mazda with like 900,000 miles on it.
And he got himself a brand new Honda. I'm the only schmo. Driving, my Cruise is like a 2017, so it's fairly new.
And so it's more new than the mustard.
And the other one is like, yeah, exactly. The other one, the Terrain's like 2017 also, or something to that effect. I don't know. But, geez, my cars always break down or get hit by somebody. It's killing me. What did you think of Harry and Rams fan Ralph? Both a lot of fun.
I thought Rams fan Ralph brought a lot of energy.
My goodness.
He just went right after everybody. So if you want to hear our guest host
Harry
for the
was
day.
A little intimidated. I get the feeling there. You know,
Harry's been stationed all over the world. He's in the Navy. I'm pretty sure he could beat both of us up with one hand each.
Yeah, he looked like he could.
I don't think he was intimidated.
I think he could kill me with his thumb. Just yeah. Like he'll take his thumb and hit me somewhere and kill
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't think yeah. he was intimidated.
I don't think so. Trivia tonight. Make sure you come out to Spare Time City Sports Grill, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Remember, five different appetizers for $5. Great beer specials. So make sure you come out to trivia. And our buddy Sean Parker. Only have a couple more weeks left on the weather for the news. That's unbelievable.
I know. Sean Parker, 2244, chief meteorologist, leaving TV, leaving the weather business, but he's staying in Vermont.
They've redone the whole crew since we've done the show here.
Well,
like everybody there, you know?
I guess we're the one constant.
Yeah.
We're the one constant in the market.
Unbelievable. I'm going to have to do something. I may see them tonight. I may see his bosses tonight at the trivia. They
so you can
trivia.
Just go and ask him if you can do yeah. the weather in his absence.
Yeah, I may have to do something like that.
Okay.
I have
well,
to go talk to him.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms on Heineberg Drive in Colchester. Did you see Gordo last night?
No, go ahead. Tell me about Gordo.
Gordon Hayward wins the comeback player of the year
yeah.
as given not by the media.
Is there no, there's just one person up for the award?
As given by the NBA Players Association. So the NBA Players yeah. Association gives Gordo the comeback player of the year. And I'm going to start by saying this, Arnie.
Do you know who finished second by any chance? Because I.
No, because I.
Yeah, because there's only person won
well,
for the award.
Does Kawhi Leonard count as comeback player of the year considering he missed most of 2017 for
yeah,
the Spurs?
Why didn't he win it?
So I
yeah, that's a good call there. I think he had a better year than Gordo did. That's for sure.
But so the NBA, jeez. So the NBA Players Association gives Gordon Hayward comeback player of the year. And look, for as hard as you've been on Gordon Hayward for now, look, and I'm not hard on him from last year, but I will be hard on him this year
yeah.
if he continues to struggle. But you do have to step back, and when you don't factor in the money that he's making, the expectations that come with it. This is a guy who came back from a catastrophic leg injury, played in 70-plus games last
yeah,
year,
yeah.
played in 12 more games than Kawhi Leonard did. Okay, Kawhi played in 60, Gordo played in 72. So he played almost the entire season, played in almost every game, played 26 minutes a game, averaged double figures. I understand it's not what we want or what his money expects him to get, but you look at a guy who, he missed an entire season, 72 games, 26 minutes a game. He was a consistent presence in just being able to get back on the floor for the Celtics. I think if you take away your expectation level of what his money would expect him to get, I think it is a pretty good season and a pretty justified award from his peers.
No, it's an okay season, but I can't take away the money and the expectations because that's part of the whole process here. You can't be a guy that's the missing piece that gets the max contract that comes in that's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. And then say, well, don't take that into factor. Coming back from the injury like that, you knew it was going to be rough going early. I just didn't think it was going to take the whole year. I thought halfway through,
we're
going to be saying, wow, that's the Gordon Hayward we thought we were getting. It just never materialized. There was one game he had 30, didn't he?
He had a couple games. He had a game where he had 30 against Minnesota. Yeah. And the game against Golden State was the one, the big one,
yeah.
where they went on the road to Golden State. They won, and Hayward was awesome. And
which
and
was
I think,
the later one, the Minnesota one?
No, the
Golden State one?
Golden State one was the later one. They went on that run out west where they beat the Lakers. They beat the Kings at the buzzer. They beat the Warriors by 30.
Because I think after the Golden State one, we said, wow, maybe he is going to be a big factor, and maybe they can win a championship if he's going to play yeah. like that, but we were mistaken on that.
It was nice, though. It's nice, though, that the Players Association, his peers, recognize it because they know, look, they have a different view than the media does. They have a different view than coaches do or than fans do. They recognize the work that it takes to come back from an injury, that it takes to play a 72, play 70 plus games in a season. So it's nice, at least for Hayward, at the very least, that his peers recognize what he went through to get back to at least be a serviceable NBA player. Even
right.
if he didn't get to what we wanted him to get to, the players recognize
still
it.
Still a meaningless award, though, when
of
it's
course.
All said and done, yes.
Look, it's meaningless, but it's nice at least that the players view Hayward in a different light maybe than we do because we heard a lot of the year about how his teammates didn't like him and how they were jealous of the minutes
I was
going to
say,
do
you think any of his teammates voted for him or maybe they didn't vote for him, huh? That'd be good to find. I wish I had the voting for that. I'd love to see
but
that.
Speaking of Celtics yeah. of last year, I didn't realize that this was going to cause this much fallout. Everybody and their mother seems to be hating on Terry Rozier all of a sudden.
Yeah, why is that?
The Terry Rozier contract, he gets 3 years, $58 million from the Hornets. And everybody's ripping it. Zach Lowe of ESPN calls the Hornets, like, he puts some winners and losers of the offseason. He calls the Hornets losers for giving Rozier that money. Says it's a waste of $20 million a year for a guy who's never shot 40% from the floor. We got Russillo and Bill Simmons on their podcast making fun of the money that he gets, saying he's closer to being deserving of $5.8 million than $58 million. Are you surprised
by
the backlash?
You were going to give him more than that, though, weren't you, at one point?
If it was for 5 years, I was expecting it to be more than that. Like, yeah. I was expecting 5 years, $80 million or something, but if it was a three-year deal, I would not have gone $60
million. I always said the reason I wanted to get rid of him is because the money was going to be way too much.
You told me in a text you would have given it to him.
I would have given him the three-year. I thought you were going to make me give him 5 years. I think I would have given him the three-year.
Would you have given him the $60
million? I think I would have. I think I would have to go ahead and make sure I got to keep him coming back, because I do think that maybe he's kind of a secret guy that can go back to where he was 2 years ago when they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think maybe I would have done that to help with Kemba. I think I would have pulled that move.
Well, Zach Lowe says there's not much evidence that Rozier plays point guard that well. He shot less than 40% overall in four career seasons, and certainly not well enough to merit almost $20 million a year. I thought that because of the way that the NBA payrolls are structured and how bloated these things get, I thought he was going to get a five-year, $80 million deal, $16 million a year. I expected that.
Yeah.
If you had told me what I would have been comfortable giving him, it would have been about $10 million a year. I would have given him 4 years at $40 million a year. I would have given him 3 years at $30 million a year. But I would not have given him 3 years and $60 million. $20 million a year, that seems extreme for a guy who's never been a full-time starter. I told you, they had $30 million to spend. I liked $20 million for Vucevic out of Orlando as a big man, and $10 million a year for Rozier. But when you start talking $20 million, I would have let Rozier go with that price, too.
Chris in Burlington says, who's going to have more points per game, Hayward or Kemba this season? Kemba, by far, right? It's not even going to be close?
Well,
but Kemba's not going to average 25 points a game, though.
No, he's not going to average 25 points a game. It all depends on really what Kemba's mindset is.
Really? Because he'll take more shots.
Well, Kemba certainly has the ability to average more than Hayward. But if Kemba comes in and says, and remember, we had Josh Sims from Fox 46 in Charlotte on the day that Kemba officially signed here, made the decision he was coming to Boston. He said, look, I think Kemba would rather take a secondary role scoring and be more of an all-around player. He goes, the Hornets needed him to score a ton. He kind of likes the ability to do everything. So if Kemba comes in and says, look, I'll average 8-16 a game, and I'll facilitate, well, then that's when Hayward could have an opportunity to average more than him. But if Kemba comes in and says, look, I'm just going to come in and score, well, then it's not even a question as to who's going to average more. It really depends on the mindset that Kemba has.
Because I always expected him to just come in and score. I didn't think there was being any other mind frame
with
him.
I mean, if he comes in, I could see him coming in, scoring 18 a game, and trying to have 8 assists. I could see that. In which case, if he averages 18 a game, then somebody's going to be in the 20-point game.
I wonder if they're asking to do that, though. I'd sign him to give me the 25 a game. I'm not worried about the assists from him.
But see, you can't say that, because Kyrie gave you 23.7 and you ripped him for not having enough assists.
Well, now Kyrie's a true point guard, though. I don't really think I think of Kemba as a scorer before I think of him.
Kemba's 6'1".
I know, but I think of him as a scorer before I think of him as a facilitator. You know what I mean?
I think of Kyrie Irving as a scorer. I think of Russell Westbrook as a scorer, and you were giving me how great is his assist the other day.
I expected Kyrie to go ahead and give it. How many assists? I don't know how many they average, but
Kyrie averaged more.
I expected Kyrie to dish the ball out. I don't expect that from Kemba. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, but I expect Kemba to score for me and not worried about the assist.
I think that Kemba's going to come in. I expect him to be around 21 a game, and 5.5 to 6 assists. That's what I'm expecting.
That'd be damn good.
That would be more than Hayward. I think that if Hayward plays well with Kemba, and if he's healthy, all that, I could see him being 17 a game. But Tatum's also going to be around that same. So you don't know how it's going to break down.
Mike in Plattsburgh asking the question that's on everybody's mind. Will Taco Fall be in the D-League or the NBA? I told you, Brady, that this guy's going to make the Celtics. I think he's going to make the Celtics.
They just waived Gershon Yabusele, who was their 16th pick just a couple of years ago. So there is a roster spot there if they want to give it to Taco Fall. But I just saw Nesson put out an article. The Celtics have no plans of putting Fall on their roster.
If you've watched him a little bit in the summer league or the highlights, I told you this. It's 7-6. If you're going to give me 5 or 6 points a game and 5 and 6 rebounds, and you're going to give me 3 to 4 fouls. I'm going to put you in. There's 82 games in a year, right? I'm going to need him when you're up a lot, when you're down a lot, a defensive replacement. Maybe you're going to come in somebody who wants to get a breather, and you need a guy that's going to grab a few rebounds and maybe get 2 to 4 points. I got to have this guy. When you're 7'6", I'm going to give you a shot on my team, Brady. I got to give you a shot, man.
I just want to know how many minutes he's going to play. I mean,
he's not going to play a lot.
He's had, I think, 5 points, 12 points, and 4 points or something in 3 summer league games. So he's not much of a scorer. They like the way he runs the floor.
But he's not there to score.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if he's going to. But if he's a guy who they say can only play 3 minutes a game, then I don't need him. If they think he can give him 9 minutes a game, well, then we're in a different conversation.
If you're going to have somebody on the bench and you're not going to play him, I'd rather have a guy that's 7'6" than a guy that's 6'2".
By the way,
for sure.
Carson Edwards lighting it up in the summer league.
Oh, yeah.
He had like 20 plus last night.
The Knicks have a guy that scored 30 in 32 minutes. I thought he was he's been unbelievable. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
4-minute football fix.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the 4-Minute Football Fix on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game on this beautiful Wednesday out there. Remember, we got Trivia Brady tonight. Be there 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We didn't have it last week, but we will have it tonight because of the holidays, the 4th of July. It was the 3rd of July. We're out in the waterfront, but we're back at it tonight. Of course, fabulous prizes, $5 appetizers for some of them. And
14-star Valor Ale on special.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. So you'll have a blast, and I'm going to be at Cult Camp.
Also, Rams fan Ralph just texted in. Thanks again. Had a great time. So thanks to him and Harry for both stopping on by. Who did you say we have on tomorrow?
Andrew in Richmond tomorrow.
Andrew in Richmond.
He did the podcast with me. He's a big Cincinnati Bengals and Cincinnati Reds fan, and he's very, very sharp.
We need what happened to all the people that hate us that were going to come in and just like slice us up like a Ginsu knife and all that? You know what I mean? Whatever to those people.
Is it a Ginsu or a Ginsu?
No, it's Ginsu. I think
you're probably right. I've never even heard
the
of it.
Ginsu
it just,
knife.
Just felt like it should be Ginsu.
No. Well, where are those people? How come we didn't get them in here? They were talking all that smack.
Alex and Moncton.
And how about all my buddies that, you know, like Big Mouth Burns? Nothing out of them. Can't find them to save their lives. All that talk. Yak, yak, yak. No, I don't even want to come on the show for an hour. What are we going to talk about for an hour? Oh, my goodness.
We're going to talk about 3 hours every day and for you another 6 hours on the weekend.
Jeez. Unbelievable. But it's been fun. It's been a good time.
Well, 4-minute football fix. We were talking in the first hour about Duke Johnson of the Browns, a running back, wanting a trade. He's got a 3-year, $15 million contract.
Right. Wow.
So it doesn't feel like a guy the Patriots could really sneak in. We were talking about this because Sony Michel hopes to be ready for training camp. Michel is, look, he had knee problems. He had a knee surgery, a torn ACL in college.
Right.
He missed the preseason last year. He sat out 3 games last season. He had a knee scope this offseason. There's enough evidence there to have a bit of concern about his durability moving forward for the Patriots. So you're in favor of maybe bringing in a more established veteran back. You want Duke Johnson.
I do want Duke Johnson.
I want Duke Johnson, too, because I think Duke Johnson is awesome. He's a pass catcher. He can run between the tackles. He's got good hands out of the backfield. They can put him up in the slot. He can help you wide receiver where you need help. But at 3 years, $15 million, I don't know how the Patriots fit that in easily.
That doesn't seem that egregious, to be honest with you. And you told me Garrett Blunt also available. I would take a flyer on him, take a look at him. Again, all this is precedent on Sony Michel not being able to play or something
not being
serious
fully healthy.
Yeah. If he's only going to miss like 1 or 2 games, I'm okay with that.
I have real worries about Sony Michel's ability to carry the ball 25 times a game for an entire season. I would say that's fair. I'm not worried so much that Michel is a disaster for the Patriots or that they can't trust him or that he's not durable at all. But I don't know how he would hold up 25 carries a game for 16 games in a season. And look, with Damian Harris and Rex Burkin and James White, maybe he won't need to. Maybe there will be games where he carries it 30 times and games where he carries it 14 and they're up big and he can kind of go on easy street. But I would not be surprised to see the Patriots have some kind of load management plan for him.
What would happen if you had to use those White and Burkhead. And
we saw them win last year with Cordero Patterson.
They're not
running
back. They're not winning like that, though, this year. That's not going to happen. If you think that, don't even look at me like that. If you think that those three guys are going to carry the load for the Patriots, it's not going to happen.
Look, we don't know about Damian Harris.
They wouldn't do a good job.
But yeah. We don't know about Damian Harris. Running back is a position where you can plug and play. It's great when you have Todd Gurley. It's great when you have a Sony Michel. But you can win games with other guys. I saw the Seahawks win games with Mike Davis last year as a featured running back. So Chris Carson, an undrafted or seventh-round draft pick out of Oklahoma State, they won with. So you can find guys. I'm excited to see Damian Harris. And now
Pittsburgh used Connor, right?
Yeah, James Connor. Yeah, James Connor. Like, it's interesting to me that Damian Harris was a draft pick that we were curious about, third round. Why'd they take him?
Well, now we know.
Now you know why, because they have some reservations about Michel.
You start to wonder, you're like, well, why did they go ahead and take him? And then you're like, oh, now you hear all the injuries that's going on with Sony Michel. And then you're wondering, okay, who's going to replace him? What are they going to do about that? And what happens if Sony Michel is gone for an extended period of time? Now you're going to have to get that other running back. Now you're going to have to look for a veteran. Now you're going to have to look for somebody that's going to have to pick up the pace for him. And unfortunately, like I said, I think Sony Michel could be one of the best running backs in Patriots history. But at this point, the way he's had injuries the first couple of years, and they're both coming into the year, I don't think you could take that chance. So the Patriots better make damn sure, Brady, that coming into this year, if they have anything, a slight problem on their mind, they better get into plan B real quick. You know what I mean? Otherwise, they're going to find themselves in deep trouble.
This offense is such an enigma right now. We're going to have a much clearer vision of it in a month from now. But as it stands right now, I tend to be positive on this. I think the Patriots offense is going to be pretty good. It's going to be different.
Really? I think it's going to be... It's not going to score as much. I don't think they're going to have points per game because I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and that's going to take away from their
offense. I think it's going to be different, but I think it's going to be effective. I think the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball. I think they are transitioning to a power football team. I like Michel. I like the collection of backs. I like what they can do catching out of the backfield. And if they get Josh Gordon back, I'm not even putting Demaryius Thomas in this. If they get Josh Gordon back and they start the season at least with Josh Gordon, N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman, I like that three. They will not get the same production at tight end. That is obvious. But
well, I was going to say, if they have no running game, does that mean they have to get Gronk back? Seriously, if the running game is lacking, they need a passing game. They have Edelman. You certainly would be a lot better offense, I think, with Gronk if he's healthier and gains back some of the weight. Do you have to get him back on the team?
Three wide receivers, a good group of running backs, I think they can score. If the running game turned out to be totally anemic, then yeah, there would be more of a clamoring for Gronk, maybe even as a blocker more so than a pass catcher at that point.
Yeah, you're missing with that also. Good point.
If it's that bad, but I just think that this team's going to be able to move the ball. I like their collection of talent that is at least available to them, and I don't know that Josh Gordon's there. And I don't know if Demaryius Thomas is there, but the potential is tantalizing.
802-655-6672 if you want to get in. Last story standing, and I got a couple of good ones. You're going to love this. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Herd.
Who are the big villains in American sports? The Patriots. Listen.
It's time for one last piece of news. Gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, got some good last story standings. First one takes us to Atlanta, Georgia.
Your wife's favorite place to live?
Oh, she loves Atlanta, Georgia. There, you know, if you've ever been on I-285, crazy freeway.
I probably was at the Super Bowl, I would have to imagine, right?
You would probably be there at the Super Bowl. That highway, that interstate, has trouble all the time. One time, foam tomahawks spilled over and, you know, the black
Braves fans.
Produce, livestock. Where it was one time blocked the freeway. Well, guess what blocked the freeway this time?
Vintage video games.
Oh, this is much better than this. An armored truck was driving the westbound lanes near Dunwoody Road, which is where I lived, when a side door flew open. That wasn't what happened, though. When the side door flew open, cash came out. You would think the cash would be in the bags, but not just regular, just like a couple $100 bills. Tons of cash. There's video all over the place of cash just flying around I-285 and people just stopping in the middle of the freeway and grabbing $100 bills. Matter of fact,
would you keep the money?
Well, police have said they're looking for the drivers who took advantage of the cash. Said it could be up to 50 people. 50 people were there taking the cash. They said you could go. Georgia law said if property is valued under $1,500, you know, it's a misdemeanor. But since it's cash over that, it's going to be a felony. They want the cash returned. Some people are returning the cash. Guess how much is missing from the truck?
How much was in it originally?
I don't know how much was in it originally.
Okay, then I will say $7,500.
Close. $175,000.
Oh, that's not close. I said 75.
Yeah. Well, it was 75, but 175,000.
That was only off by 100 grand.
That was flying around on the freeway. $175,000 in $100 bills. Wow. I think I would have stopped and started picking them up also.
Would you have given them back, though? You would have given back, like, if you took 1,000, you'd give back 900.
Oh.
Keep 100.
Correction. Out of the $175,000, they did get some of it back. They got $200 back. Yeah, it says here, officers and crew were only able to collect about $200 in small bills. Otherwise, so I guess $174,800 still out there, still out there in ones, fives, fifties, and you name it, $100 bills. Unbelievable. All right, thanks to Rams fan Ralph and Harry. They did a great job.
They did awesome.
That was a lot of fun. So
they had tough shoes to follow after Beth yesterday.
Yes, they did. It was a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying this. Who, again, one more time, who do we have on tomorrow?
Andrew in Richmond.
Andrew in Richmond.
The guy who sold Rich's condo. He was a realtor. So we could have some fun with what was Rich's old house like.
I like that. That's going to be a blast.
And I got Colt Camp.
Oh, that's right.
So
be careful.
I hope I'm okay.
God bless you, and please be careful.
If I don't see you tomorrow...
If someone says my favorite movie is Deliverance, you run.
If I don't see you tomorrow, it's been a lot of fun.
Wow. I'm nervous for you. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Later.
Clay Travis all morning. Talking sports all day. WCPV. Essex Burlington.